Sometimes the fun begins when the paved road ends. Chevy Silverado 2500 HD is made to work hard and play hard on the road or off. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and experience life in HD.
I think they like you, Steve.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Andy Beazer, Andy Beazer. Are we live? Are we live?
I think this is on. Check 1, 2.
Hello, 1, 2, 1, 2. It's Dave Plyer here for Steve Cochran and Steve Krasanich on this Memorial Day morning. Live from the Allstate Skyline Studios, 720 WGN, 312-981-7200. 7 years we've been doing this.
Seven years. Let's see. I've been a part of it for five?
I think so?
The fifth one, yeah.
Okay.
Because I came back here in March of 2014.
Is that what it was? Okay. Yeah. All right. Where the hell is Schwanny? Is he sleeping in?
You know, I saw Schwanny yesterday, and he was all excited about today, and I don't know exactly where he is. I was so excited I got here at 2:15 this morning.
Vic, is he napping in there? You can tell me. Come on, you can be honest.
Vic doesn't want any part of it.
Yeah, obviously. Obviously. Is Schwanny in there, Vic?
He certainly is, sir. We're just talking about today
Is he napping?
He just got here.
Okay, very good, very good.
I'll be carrying your news through 6 o'clock. We'll get Dave Schwann on the mic about 6:30.
So today, we're going to get, what, rain all afternoon, kind of?
You know what? Actually, yeah. As of last night, we were being told that we expect some showers and thunderstorms, but there's Channel 9, the meteorologists over there, and obviously we just had Mike Hamernick on. They're now telling us that some of those could be severe today, so just kind of what we're hearing is kind of watch your screens between 2 and 10 p.m. Those are when most severe ones could come in.
Perfect. So you can grill a little lunch today, you know.
You know, I don't think a weather is going to stop a Chicagoan from grilling a burger.
I don't think so either.
But it may stop some people from playing baseball today.
That is true. That is true.
Although, right.
And the parades are mostly this morning, so you might be cleared and all this stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. I would hope.
Good chance. Yeah, that's a good chance.
I am excited because, first of all, I feel like summer just kind of because of the weather probably, but it just feels like it just kind of came out of nowhere. I'm ready for some, you know, my son graduated. That's what John was mentioning. My son graduated from high school on Saturday, so that's been the central focus of making sure he's got everything locked down for college for next year and all that other good stuff, and then all of a sudden, boom, here we are.
Here we are
already. Anything you look forward to in the summer that's just like summer-esque that Andy Mazur has to do?
No, I mean, it's basically baseball,
for you,
and
yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
for extra activities, baseball.
Baseball.
Yeah.
Baseball.
Which is not a bad thing to be, you know, dealing with in the summertime.
Absolutely not. We usually, you know, I'm kind of a fan of going up to Wisconsin. I spend a lot of weekends up there as much as possible. Usually this is one of those weekends where I stay up there and then get up at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
And I drive back and forth. And because of the graduation this weekend, we have not done that. So I feel a little tinge that I need to be near some water or something today. I know. Hello.
Just turn around.
Let me just turn around here. I know. I just threw it on my Facebook page, this beautiful view outside the Skyline Studios. But, you know, and I sold, I had a boat. And it was a nice Sea Ray, a little speed boat. And it was a little older and was my first boat. And I got rid of that.
Okay.
But I'm looking for a good pontoon just so I can just cruise on the lake and not worry about the craziness of whatever. They're cheaper. They're a little more cost effective, a little easier to maintain.
That's the big thing, right?
Yeah, that is the big thing. So that's kind of what I'm kind of looking forward to. So I'm hoping to get up to Wisconsin next week. But yeah, baseball for me and as well. And I'm a Cubs fan, so I enjoyed. We did a little 1914 this week.
Oh, you did?
Which was a lot of fun.
Okay.
If you have not done, have you done that?
No, I have. I have yet to be there this year.
It is like a at Wrigley, it is like Gibson's in the middle of Wrigley Field.
Interesting.
With 20-foot ceilings and really the span of the entire bottom four sections underneath home plate. It's crazy.
But you can't see the game live from there. You can only watch it on TV.
You only watch it on TV,
correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you're really, but it's so close to the seats. Like, and there's all these new clubs there too. So it's kind of like you run downstairs really quick, get something to eat, and then you run upstairs for the game again. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, you know, they've done a lot of nice things over there.
Yeah.
In recent years.
Yeah.
Again, I haven't been there. I'll be there when the Cubs and the Sox play.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Thinking a few. It's coming up, I think.
It is in June. Yeah, absolutely. The other thing is the drive-in. My daughter's like, hey, when are we going to the drive-in? Because we missed it last year. And okay. We used to love the Cascade. And I love the McHenry Outdoor. I think the Cascade was a little closer. Closed. So it was one of those things like that just happened at Kittyland, where somebody owned the land and then somebody owned the park and they sold the land from underneath them. Well, that's exactly what happened at the drive-in. They were waiting. They had their opening date ready to go. And the owner just said, yeah, no, I'm going to sell the property in West Chicago, in the middle of nowhere. Mm. What are you going to do with that?
Yeah, really.
What's so critical at this stage of the game? So we're going to have Scott on from the McHenry Outdoor Theater in a couple weeks on my show. But that's the last standing drive-in in Chicagoland.
I used to love, I think it was called the M&R. Was it on Milwaukee Avenue?
And the Twin.
The Twin, that's right.
It was the Twin. But I think it was...
I saw Raiders of the Lost Ark on a station wagon.
Yeah, on a station wagon,
I was sitting on the hood.
Yeah, yeah. It was the 80s, yeah. I think I saw Breakfast Club there.
Okay.
But they always showed the double feature was not... the second feature was not always, like, fabulous. It was like a B-movie from the early 70s or something.
Yeah, it was like the A side of the record, and you flip it, and you got to listen to this other thing.
Right. What you would try to do is you would try to sneak over to the other theater.
True.
To see if there was a better movie over there.
True.
Yeah. Yeah. I spent a lot of time in a trunk getting into those theaters.
Yeah. That was the thing, you know? You get in the back and get under the blanket.
After drinking 90 degrees.
Even better. Does it get any better than that?
No, it does not.
A little stale popcorn.
Who hasn't been drunk in the trunk of a car?
Well, not recently.
Not recently. Wait, I guess not. Yeah, so I'm kind of looking forward to that. We were going to do a little novelty golf, a little miniature golf today. I don't think so.
Yeah, it may not be perfect for that.
I might have to go to 11.
But, you know, it always makes me, whenever you mention miniature golf, it always makes me miss the parking there on Dempster and Waukegan.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I forgot about that.
It hasn't been there for a long, long time, but that was a place to go in high school. And
was that next to Frank's Nursery and Crafts?
It was pretty close. Yeah, it was. Okay, Churnin' Shoes was over there. And the Ground Round was in the parking lot.
Get out of here!
Not that I remember anything.
No, but you know what? That whole parking lot, you're talking about Dempster and Waukegan, there's not one store left in there. I think there's a Starbucks in there.
I think they're all gone.
They're going to have to plow that thing. So I'm thinking, you know what? Like when you sell like something like we were just talking about the drive-in and you're selling that property, you know, with all the property that's available from a retail perspective now, what do you need to, why would you need to do that?
Yeah, I mean, there's like strip mall after strip mall after strip mall.
Empty.
Yeah, that are, you know. Well, for whatever reason. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's parking. Maybe it's just the location. Whatever.
Yeah, maybe it is. So we got a big show today, Mr. Mazur. We're going to start it off after the news at 5:30 with Gary Sinise. So Chicago's own.
Good man.
And, you know, I really do like to define the difference, of course, between Memorial Day and Labor Day. I lost a good friend in the Iraq conflict 15 years ago now already, Shane Mahaffey. And so, you know, I remember that. I had an uncle that died in World War II that obviously I didn't know. But there is a big difference between the two. It's celebrating. You're not celebrating veterans. You're celebrating those who lost.
Yeah.
But I'd like to also check in to see what's going on with our veterans on Veterans Day as well. And Gary is so involved. In so many, in his own foundation, he tours. He's like the Bob Hope of our generation, going around the country and doing what Bob did with the USO and entertaining the troops and so forth. So we're going to check in with him. Santa's Village, speaking of Kittyland and amusement parks and all that good stuff. Somebody just texted me at 847, we're old.
We are old.
I don't know what you're going to say. We are old, but we are all old together
in
this whole thing.
Well, I mean, either way. It's accurate.
But Santa's Village has been around 60 years in Chicagoland, which is kind of cool. Did you do Kittyland or did you do Santa's Village?
I did the Kittyland that was there at the McCormick and Lincoln.
Yeah, see, you know, Roger Badish always mentions that place to me. I don't even remember that.
That place was awesome. It had a miniature golf course next to it, too.
Wow.
And my grandparents lived right down the street. That's why we would go there.
Kittyland's been closed 10 years now,
okay,
if you can believe that. But Jason Serpium, who bought really Santa's Village, and he's got a partner that does owns the property, so it's kind of a similar arrangement. When that park closed, most of the rides were gone.
Hmm.
You know, they sold a ton of stuff off because it was closed for a few years. And because it was worn down, the people that had it before just weren't taking care of it anymore, so it just kind of faded away. But not only did he bring it back, but he brought it back to kind of a brand new glory, because he has like polished and shined up every single ride there, bought a lot of them back, rehabbed them. I think the fire truck, because I think a lot of these, every one of these had a fire truck.
Yeah.
And I remember going to Kiddyland on my fifth birthday, and there was no seatbelts. You would just bounce around the back of the fire truck, hoping you'd fall off the back.
You don't want to fall out?
Down River Road or whatever.
That'd have been okay. Yeah, sure.
But they bought a few of the Kiddyland rides, you know, that are there. So at auction, they bought some of those. And then the fire truck, a bar bought it, and they just had it parked outside of the bar. And when he reopened, they donated the truck back to Santa's Village. So he really does a nice job there. So we're going to talk to Jason Serpian about that as well. And then U.S. Secretary Robert Wilkie from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs is going to join us at 6:50 and talk a little bit about what's going on in Washington today and some of the steps taken. You know, the big deal right now for veterans is veterans' mental health issues and suicides. There's like 20 veterans that commit suicide a day. 70% of them don't take VA services, so it's hard to get to those folks. But he's got a lot of new programs in place that hopefully will reduce that number eventually to zero. But we'll talk to him about that. And then Gary Meyer, live in studio.
I've heard of him.
Which is really interesting, because he was just on LS not long ago, celebrating the 95th anniversary of the station and stuff. And I just said, hey, you want to come on and talk about... He used to have that... his father had recorded some audio almost 40 years ago about his experience in World War II. But not even from a veteran perspective. He talked a lot about his friends that he lost. Is really quite poignant. So we're going to play a little of that and have him live in studio and just shoot the whatever comes to mind.
Sure. Shoot the breeze.
Shoot the breeze, exactly. And then we got Elliot Bamber from Chicago's Best. He's going to come in. We're going to talk about great ice cream shops around Chicagoland. There's some really unique ones outside of the DQs and so forth that you go to every day. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. And then Weber Grill in studio. We're going to give away a Weber Grill at about 8:50 this morning. So big show coming up ahead. And first, are we doing traffic this morning? No traffic. We're just going to go, what? 6 o'clock?
Yeah, 6 o'clock we start the traffic reports. But don't forget the Museum of Broadcast tickets as well.
Oh, okay. Are we doing that this morning too?
You had it in the rundown.
Okay, we're going to do that too.
Giving away tickets.
Yeah, in the 6 o'clock hour, we are going to be giving away tickets. There's a new museum exhibit called Louder Than Words. History of Rock and Politics, really cool. We're going to give away tickets to some lucky winners during the 6 and 8 o'clock hours. We'll do that as well. We'll be right back. All right, Dave Plyer in for Steve Cochran. I guess Steve Brzanich this morning as well, as there's no opening bell. Markets are closed today. Just some statistics on Memorial Day here. What do you think the biggest grilling holiday is? Is it Memorial Day, or what do you think it is, bud?
I think it's probably the 4th of July.
It is the 4th of July.
Yeah.
Just by a hair, though. So 60% of Americans plan a barbecue over Memorial Day weekend. And as Vic Vaughn was saying, it's going to be a little crazy with the weather this afternoon after 2 o'clock, so you might want to get that barbecue in for lunch today. But, 4th of July is 63%. Labor Day is 58%. A lot of kids are back to school and stuff already by that point, especially colleges, universities and stuff. Father's Day is the other one, 45%.
Really?
And then Mother's Day. I don't think I've ever barbecued for Mother's Day. Here, Mom, here's a pork chop.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Something a little fancier. 818 hot dogs are consumed every second from Memorial Day to Labor Day. Not by one person, but just across the board.
I was going to say, that's a big guy.
Mm-hmm. Also, top periods for beer sales.
Of all the holidays you're talking about?
Summer holidays.
The
trifecta.
I say 4th of July as well.
It is 4th of July. Yeah. Very dangerous weekend, obviously, as well, for drinking and driving. Let me shut that down. Then Memorial Day, then Labor Day after that. 1.5 billion sales of meat and seafood for Memorial Day.
Hmm.
So we did. We actually had paid some folks to make some briskets. You know, so to smoke some briskets and some pork shoulder. Good. 40 pounds of pork shoulder, which is good fat.
Very good, healthy fat. Yeah,
and some Polish sausage.
Nice.
So we're going to be eating that for about a week. I mean, we had plenty, but 120 running races are held on Memorial Day. 1.5 million people will watch the National Memorial Day Parade on TV. 20 marching bands perform in the parade. 1,000 active duty service members participate as well. 42.8 million Americans travel over Memorial Day weekend, and they're expecting this weekend was about 5% higher than last year. The economy's good. Unemployment's low.
And I didn't see a soul. I flew back from Houston. I was there with the White Sox. I came back on Friday.
Yeah.
I walked into Houston's Hobby Airport at 10:30 in the morning and was at the gate by 10:35.
I wonder if people are shit traveling more on Thursday.
Maybe it is Thursday.
Just getting out of Dodge.
That's a good point.
Or is it more in the car travel?
Well, that's a good point, too, right? Yeah, because it's more summer activity just to get the pack the kids into the family truckster and get out.
Family truckster.
Exactly.
Let's see here. Well, here we go. 37.6 million of that 42.8 million plan to drive to their destination.
That's why they weren't at Houston's Hobby Airport.
Let me read ahead next time and give you that information up front.
Just like in rehearsal.
Did we ever rehearse? Did I miss rehearsal again?
I did, too.
3.2 million people expected to travel by plane. So it's just a lot smaller.
Yeah.
96% of companies will close their offices on Memorial Day. Well, I hope so.
Technically we're closed, right?
Yeah, we are closed. Yeah. It's just, how many of us are here? Four?
Yeah.
Four people, maybe? Five people in the studio? I know that sounds kind of crazy.
Hey, but we can run it. Come on.
I remember when I started here 7 years ago that overnights, we didn't have an engineer overnights. So we had a phone number to call.
Oh, okay.
It was one of those cost-cutting things at the time, and it was myself and a producer in the entire Tribune Tower for the most part, and one person in security downstairs.
Okay.
It was a little nerve-wracking.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit. Let's see, $2.86 a gallon for gas, same as last year, so that did not go up. Yeah, you got to, you know, even though...
But where is that?
Where is that?
Because I'd like to find that station.
I live in the city, but my office is in Elgin. And if you don't think I'm filling up in Elgin before I come back.
Well, yes.
Yeah. Excuse me, as I burp. You know, the taxes and everything else.
Yeah, because it was like $3.45.
Yeah.
And it's usually cheap at this place I go to, and it wasn't cheap.
It just didn't seem cheap enough. All right. Well, you know, and then I know everyone wants to just, or there's a certain faction of people that want to complain about our president and Trump and all that other good stuff. But economy's good. Unemployment's low. Gas prices are low. Yeah, how do you argue that?
People will.
People will. Of course they will. 1 in 3 Americans will plan another summer road trip if gas prices remain low. That's smart. Here's something that really surprised me. What do you think that is the number one destination nationally people are flying and getting away? Where do you think people are going for Memorial Day weekend?
Is it a place or is it like a...
It's a city state.
Yeah. I would say Washington.
That would make sense
DC,
to me.
Yeah.
That would make sense to me. Just comfortable weather, going to go see our nation's capital. Mm-hmm. It's Orlando. I guess it's not boiling hot yet there, sure. But if you didn't do spring break, maybe it's an easier weekend to do that. Number two is New York. Now, I have two different groups of friends that are in New York this weekend.
Hmm.
So just, you know, enjoying the activities there. Three is Las Vegas, which I can imagine is number three on every list every time of the year, right? Four is Honolulu for Memorial Day.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. That's a long flight from here.
Five is Anaheim.
Okay, yeah.
So these are national.
The theme parks are at those other two locations, 1 and 5.
And if you live in Chicago, you're going to Michigan or Wisconsin if you're getting away.
Right.
So to speak.
The dunes or whatever you're going to go to in Indiana.
45% of major roads in the U.S. are in poor or mediocre condition. Somebody asked me, gas prices low, are you blind? Well, it depends where you're going.
Yeah, I mean, there's city taxes and all that kind of fun stuff.
That you can't avoid. The cost of President Trump's planned trip to Mar-a-Lago this weekend for his Memorial Day weekend. The cost, thinking security, Air Force One.
It's in the millions.
It's $3.4 million for him to go and take a little weekend break. But, I mean, that's the same for Obama when he left town and everybody else, too. It's all the presidents.
It closes a lot of roads around there where there are businesses that suffer a little bit in West Palm over there. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure. 45.5% of Americans are likely to take advantage of Memorial Day deals. Yeah, okay. Furniture, mattresses, mm-hmm. I get it, whatever. Average spending over Memorial Day is about $486. So activities, food, whatever else. 20% to 80% off the discount shoppers can expect on home goods and spring closing. 40 freebies and special discounts are available to veterans and military personnel this weekend. See, that's another thing. And that bothers veterans that it happens on Memorial Day weekend, because that's not about them.
Yeah, and it's not a marketing opportunity.
No.
It should,
well
it
has
is,
been.
But yeah.
It has been.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. There's a click it or ticket campaign that happens always from now until middle of June. Just reminding people for their seatbelts and, of course, drunk driving and everything else that's going on out there. 25% more home cooking fires happen on Memorial Day than average. That's great. Let's see here. 130. This is the oddest statistics here. 139 million estimated value of items that will be lost this Memorial Day weekend. Losing your phone, keys. Again,
don't know where you parked. You lost your car. Stupor.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's see here. 36% of all traffic fatalities that occur over Memorial Day weekend are alcohol related. I guess that doesn't surprise me as well. Be careful out there, for God's sake. Still getting this text about gas prices. Kankakee is $2.70 a gallon. Come on down.
See, now here's the thing.
Yes.
If we go from here to there,
yeah,
we're probably spending more in gas to get there than it would be cheaper to get it there, wouldn't
maybe.
It?
Maybe.
Isn't there some kind of formula?
There might be a formula.
Okay.
We'll have Curtis look into that.
We appreciate
right
the opportunity and the welcome.
Absolutely. Day flyer for Steve Cochran and Steve Krasanich this morning here on 720 WGN. As a kid, Chicago's own Gary Sinise was one of the founders of the Steppenwolf Theater Company and launched a series of groundbreaking productions before taking the role that would change his life in unforeseeable ways. Lieutenant Dan in the Academy Award-winning film Forrest Gump. The military community's embrace of the character of the disabled veteran was only matched by the depth of Gary's realization that America's defenders had not received all the honor, respect, and gratitude that their sacrifices deserve. Gary has worked tirelessly on behalf of those who serve this country. He has entertained more than 500,000 troops around the world, eventually founding the Gary Sinise Foundation with a mission to serve and honor America's defenders, veterans, first responders, their families, and those in need. And on this Memorial Day weekend at the National Memorial Day Concert in Washington yesterday, Gary appeared in concert along with actor Joe Mantegna and conductor Jack Everly. Now, Gary's new book released earlier this year is called Grateful American, and he's joining us this morning. Welcome back to the show, Gary.
Well, thanks for having me. Good to be back.
Absolutely. Well, serving your country runs in your family. Going back to World War I, your grandfather served in France, transported wounded from the battlefield, uncles that served in World War II, your father served during the Korean War in the Navy. Did any of them at that time when you were younger or even as you were older sit down with you and really talk about those days with you?
No, not when I was younger. I so wish that I was old enough at the time that my grandfather was alive.
Yeah.
That I would have been interested in hearing about what he did in World War One, but you know he never talked about any of that when I was a kid. No, yeah. He was a railroad guy. He came home from the war and went to work on the railroad on the South Side, the Indiana Harbor Belt, and worked the railroad for 40 years. And you know his three sons all served. Two in World War II, and my dad served in the Navy during Korea. But they never, you know, by the time I was old enough for them to, you know, to absorb any of the things that they would say, they were well beyond their service years, and they never talked about it. It was only later on, you know, after I really started focusing on military service that, you know, I started asking questions. My uncle Jerry, who was the middle brother of the three brothers, and my dad's, he's older than my dad. He passed away in 1996, and he lived in Texas. He moved to Texas years ago, so I didn't get to know my uncle Jerry or what he did. Thankfully, though, he was a writer, and he wrote about his military service. So,
right.
What I know about his military service is what. From what he wrote about it. But I did get to spend a good amount of time with my Uncle Jack, who passed away at 90 years old. But the last 12, 15 years of his life, I took him to different military events and took him to the National Memorial Day concert in D.C. And He was a navigator on a B-17 over Europe during the war, so I arranged for him to get on a B-17 and fly around.
Years ago.
And, you know, I did spend a lot of good time, and he talked about his war days, only up to a certain point. He saw a lot of bad stuff up in the air, and a lot of airplanes go down, and that kind of thing. So he saw a lot of bad stuff.
Yeah, that generation really didn't talk about it that much. I mean, you really had to pull it out of somebody, right?
Yeah. And I, you know, I was able to take him to the National World War II Museum in New Orleans and have him recorded on video. And so I, after he passed away, they gave me a copy of his video of him talking about his war years. And it was really very moving. And, you know, so I did get to spend some time with him. It was really the Vietnam veterans on my wife's side of the family that kind of gave me an education about Vietnam and what it was like for them to come home from war to a divided nation that really kind of got me started in supporting our veterans.
Yeah, so there was a Vietnam veteran, and in this part of the book, it was just very moving about being at the Hilton the summer after Forrest Gump was released. You were at the Hilton on Michigan Avenue, ballroom filled with hundreds of disabled veterans and their family members. You know, you said you witnessed a sea of men and women with scars and prosthetics and burn marks and crutches and wheelchairs. And they were clapping and cheering wildly because of the role you played of Lieutenant Dan. And there was a Vietnam veteran who gave you that award and said that your performance brought back that awareness of lifelong sacrifice. But they said back to you, and that really stopped you and said, gosh, what happened in between there that we have to actually bring it back? Appreciating our veterans.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of an odd thing. You know, it made me think quite a bit that, you know, our veterans should always be celebrated and supported and feel appreciated. And you know, we take our freedom and those who provide it for granted. We do, because we go by, unless we have a personal family member or somebody who's serving, or, you know, best friends or somebody who we're personally connected to, you know, so much of the country is kind of disconnected to that. Yet there are people out there every single day that are sacrificing, and families that are sacrificing. And, you know, September 11th really rocked my world and changed the course of my life. And when we started deploying our service members to Afghanistan and Iraq, I thought I have to be in this with them, and I want them to know that that what they're doing is appreciated. So that's why I went on this mission.
You talk about how veterans have weaved into your life pretty early on, even before some of this, even before Forrest Gump. You know, you did Tracers, and you knew there was a suicide bomber that in the early 80s that killed 220 Marines, sailors, soldiers. And that kind of hits you in a different way. And you started watching, you know, like Vietnam, a television history on PBS, and started kind of ingraining yourself for these roles, but it touched you in a certain way.
Oh, no question. No question about that. It was the Vietnam veterans on my wife's side of the family, in her side of the family, that started me thinking about what the Vietnam veteran must have experienced when going off to war and then coming home to a nation that had turned its back on them, and how difficult that was. And so as artistic director of Steppenwolf at that time, back in the early 80s, I wanted to find a piece of material to direct that was based on, you know, the Vietnam experience. And I found this play that was written by a group of Vietnam veterans, and they were performing it at the time. And I went to see it in Los Angeles, and I begged them to give me the rights to do it. And I take the time to talk about this in the book because it was so significant. You know, here I am right now, a full-on, full-time mission of service to our veterans, and the roots of that go back to my family members and the Vietnam veterans that I met in Chicago, and the experiences that I had, working on this play about Vietnam, taking my cast to the VA in North Chicago to sit with a group of Vietnam veterans a few times and listen to them talk about their experiences and hear these veterans were in there. They were in the hospital because they were going through terrible post-traumatic stress from Vietnam, but also from coming home from the war and having the country just spit on them.
Right. Yeah.
And here they are in the hospital, and they're I'm bringing my cast there, and I want my cast to listen to the guys talk about what it's like to have served in Vietnam and to be a Vietnam veteran, because they were going to have to play these guys. And that was galvanizing for me and the cast to sit there and listen to these veterans talk firsthand about their combat experiences and then coming home and facing a new war here at home with people that were treating them badly. So those early days working with Vietnam veterans in Chicago galvanized some things in me, and then I went off and played a Vietnam veteran in Forrest Gump, and then September 11th came along, and I knew where I needed to put my energy, and it was towards supporting the men and women who were deploying to Iraq and Afghanistan.
You must be my FNGs.
Morning, sir!
Oh, get your hands down. Do not salute me. There are goddamn snipers all around this area who love to grease an officer. I'm Lieutenant Dan Taylor. Welcome to Fort Platoon. What's wrong with your lip?
I was born with big gums, sir.
Well, you better tuck that in. I'm gonna get that caught on a tripwire. Where are you boys from in the world?
Alabama, sir.
You twins?
No, we are not relations, sir.
Look, it's pretty basic here. Stick with me. Learn from the guys that have been in country a while, you'll be all right.
Gary, then you get the role of Forrest Gump, and I know you had an opportunity to be in a Disney movie, but... And I guess this happens with actors, too. When you reflect upon the fact that you accept a movie role, you often have to choose and think deeply about, if you've got a choice between two movies, what you want to do. And you got Walt Disney knocking at your door to do this, and then you have this opportunity where you get to play a veteran just after you, you know, years after you did this play, right? I mean, that's the opportunity.
Yeah, it was along came Forrest Gump, you know, about 10 years after I did Tracers, the play about mm-hmm. Vietnam in Chicago, and I actually got to now audition and play the Vietnam veteran, and it was interesting because I auditioned for it and then I didn't hear anything, and I really wanted it, but I got to this place where I said I better not think about it because I might not get it and I don't want to get too depressed, so I'm going to go audition for other things, and so I did. I went and auditioned for like three or four other things, and it got down to the wire on two things that I didn't get. And then one I did get offered, and I got it offered it almost at the same time that I got offered Forrest Gump. Uh-huh. You know, and Forrest Gump came back around about 3 weeks after I auditioned for it and offered me the part. And so now I didn't have anything, and now all of a sudden I have two things.
Right.
I got to make a decision between a movie called Tall Tale that Disney was doing and Forrest Gump, and I very much wanted to play the Vietnam veteran. The Tall Tale movie, I would have played the father in a movie about a little boy, and the mother was going to be played by my wife, Moira.
Oh,
so I had
cool.
to turn down playing the father went to work with Tom Hanks and did Forrest Gump. But I think it was the right move.
Absolutely. Absolutely was. 10 years after 9/11, you created the Gary Sinise Foundation. You last year raised $35 million. $35 million in 1 year alone. Among its programs, construction of special adapted smart homes for severely wounded veterans that are provided mortgage-free homes. You lead the Lieutenant Dan Band and touring hundreds of shows and concert stages and military bases and war zones. I mean, you're a guy that has really put his money where his mouth is and gotten this done. And you're doing amazing, amazing things every day, man.
Well, thank you. I guess I was always the kind of guy that just takes action, you know. And maybe it's out of it came from an insecurity in some ways. Years and years ago when I was a kid, I was always a little intimidated because academically I just couldn't cut things, you know. I really struggled. If you look at my mom saved all my report cards from kindergarten through high school, and if you look at them, it's like a D average, you know.
I don't mean to laugh, but yeah, I gotcha. Yeah.
It really is. It's like a D average all the way from little kid to high school. But then I get into high school, and I start taking all the theater classes, and all of a sudden I'm getting A's in all these classes, these theater classes. Yeah. So clearly you can just look at my report cards and figure out, like, okay, this kid found his thing, you know?
Sure.
He found his thing. But, in a way, I wanted to make up for that sort of insecurity about school and how I felt around the other students who were doing well and everything, and I would just kind of make stuff up and go do things.
Sure.
And like I was the kid in the neighborhood who organized the baseball team or the baseball game, or I was the kid in the band as a sixth grader who figured out what songs we were going to play and organized, you know, working out to play at the local kids' party or whatever, you know, take the lead. And so when I had the opportunity to take over as artistic director of Steppenwolf and get that whole thing going, you know, it just, I was kind of, I don't know, there was something in me that was just like, well, if you can think about it, you can go do it.
You quoted Ronald Reagan when he said, freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same. And those words have stuck for you, and you live by them.
Oh, no question. And that's absolutely true. And when you go to places around the world that really don't understand what freedom is, or they have people that are willing to fight to take your freedom away rather than hand it to you or protect it for you, then you value your freedom and those who provide it that much more. And I've been to places. There's a story in the book about some of my trips to Korea and going up to the DMZ and standing on the DMZ between North and South Korea and staring at a North Korean guard, staring them in the face. I mean, they'll come right down to the borderline and stare at you and take your picture.
Wow.
I've had that happen where the North Koreans are, there's a building when you stand on the border at the DMZ, there's a building in the distance that North Koreans are inside that building, and they're looking at you with binoculars and stuff. And sometimes there's somebody just standing outside the building, and sometimes they'll walk down the stairs and come all the way up to the borderline. And the border is just this little piece of concrete that goes, it's like this concrete line that's about 6 inches high. You can step right over it. And they'll come up to their side of that little concrete ridge, and you can go right up to the South Korean side and stare at them in the face.
Wow.
And it's very bizarre. And they'll take your picture, and I've done that. And, you know, you're looking at somebody who is enslaved to the supreme leader.
Yeah.
They have no concept of what living in a free society is. They don't have but the people in the South that are on the South side of that little concrete line, they're free.
They get it.
They're free. Yeah. They can go wherever they want, do whatever they want. Their economy is about the 10th greatest in the world. You know, they've been able to enjoy freedoms that the people in the North just have never had. And you value your freedom a lot more when you are face to face with somebody who doesn't have it.
Well, for more on the Gary Sinise Foundation, visit GarySiniseFoundation.org. Thanks for joining us, Gary, and enjoy your Memorial Day.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, top stories are next on 720 WGN.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
with the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
And it's Dave Plyer for Steve Cochran this morning. And the top six at six is brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men. All right, number one. Driven by declines on the south side, the city of Chicago again lost population this year, the fourth dip in a row. According to the estimates released by the U.S. Census Bureau, the city was home to 2.7 million residents as of July 2018, down by about 7,000 from the year before. The drop is about the same as in each of the prior 3 years, and for what it's worth, the slowdown appears to be hitting all of the nation's largest cities, with New York City also showing 12-month estimated declines and Houston's growth slowing to a crawl. Though Los Angeles added about 8,000 people last year, Chicago comfortably remains the country's third largest city with a lead of about 375,000 over Houston, and that Texas city has gained about 8,000 residents last year. Here in Illinois, downstate communities such as Peoria, Rockford, and Springfield all lost people last year and are down from 2010. Naperville grew, but just by 6,500. All right, the red and purple lines are getting major upgrades, but that's coming with a drawback. The red line's Lawrence and Berwyn stations will be shut down for 3 years.
Wow.
I know, that's a little much.
I thought you were going to say 3 months.
No, 3 years. Stations at Lawrence at 1117 West Lawrence and Berwyn and 1121 West Berwyn Avenue could close in late 2020 or early 21 and aren't expected to open until 2024, which seems like a million miles away. The closures are needed as part of a $2.1 billion red-purple line modernization project. The Argyle and Berwyn stations will be closed for upgrades also during that time, but the CTA will have temporary stations to replace those. When the four stations reopen in 2024, they will be updated and 100% accessible. As the long Memorial Day weekend continues, Chicago police have so far responded to nearly two dozen shootings. As of last night, the Chicago police has responded to the shootings of 34 people, five whom died in their injuries. Officers had also made 41 arrests for gun offenses and had taken 112 guns off the streets between 6 p.m. on Friday and 10 a.m. on Sunday as part of their Memorial Day weekend patrols. And number four, disgraced Hollywood movie producer Harvey Weinstein and his former studio have come to a tentative agreement in bankruptcy court to resolve lawsuits filed by several women who have accused him of sexual misconduct. The deal could be worth $44 million, according to ABC News. The agreement, when finalized, would provide about $30 million to the plaintiffs, which includes not only those who have sued over sexual misconduct, but also former employees of the now-defunct Weinstein Company. The company filed for bankruptcy in March of 2018. It was purchased by Lantern Capital in May of 2018 and renamed Lantern Entertainment. The other $14 million would be for legal fees accrued by Weinstein's associates, also named in the lawsuits. Weinstein is still facing a criminal trial in New York with two women accusing him of rape and sexual assault. The case is set to begin on September 9th and should last about a month, according to his attorneys. It's pretty cool. The Firebird Trans Am turns 50 this year. The first generation of Pontiac's legendary muscle car began rolling off the assembly line in 1969 and continued to be manufactured with tiny tweaks over the years until 2002. I can't believe it's been that long that they've been gone. 15 years.
Yeah.
Trans Am, right?
Yeah.
And Pontiac in general.
Well, yeah, Pontiac. I had a Pontiac in 01.
Okay.
And
Deshawn, good morning.
Good morning to you, Dave. Good morning, Mr. Mazur.
I.E.
Pontiac went away, it's been probably 10 years now.
Yeah, so. Already, yeah. Now, the vehicle earned an important place in pop culture history, starting roles in what movie, Andy Mazur?
Smokey and the Bandit.
That's right. And what two TV shows, Dave Schwann? I stumped you. I stumped Dave Schwann. I've never stumped Dave Schwann in my life.
Oh, yes, you have.
two shows. One was in the 70s, one was in the 80s.
Wasn't the Dukes of Hazzard, was it?
It was James Garner in the Rockford Files.
Oh, Rockford Files. Okay.
He had that, and I'll tell you, when I was 10 years old or whatever it was, I wanted that car.
Yeah.
I wanted his car. It was gold, I think, the gold Trans Am. And the other one was Knight Rider.
Okay.
Which I didn't know it was a Trans Am.
Night Industry 2000.
Now, more recently, in the last 8 years, there's a company called Trans Am Worldwide that took its modern take on the Pontiac Firebird to the New York International Auto Show, and business has been booming. So what they're doing is they're taking the Chevy Camaro and decking it out to look like a Firebird, you know, with the big whatever eagle on the cover or whatever. Oh, yeah. Since General Motors doesn't make it anymore, they have 30 employees, and it's a months-long waiting list for the Chevy Camaro-based Firebird Trans Am style muscle machine. That's pretty cool.
They'll fill the need. They will fill the need.
All right. Walt Disney Company's live-action remake of Aladdin crushed the competition at the box office this Memorial Day weekend thus far, earning more than $207 million worldwide since its debut. Other new movies in theaters this holiday weekend, the horror Brightburn and the critically acclaimed teen comedy Booksmart, failed to make a major impact. Now, while the two new rated R-rated films didn't even break $10 million, Aladdin grossed an estimated $86.1 million to take the top spot at the American box office, according to studio estimates on Sunday. Now, the family picked it better than expected, $90 million pre-release tracking. It's expected to surpass the $100 million mark by end of day today. And there you have it.
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Let's take your car and do Amusement Park USA.
At Palisades and South Bay Parks, the roller coasters are flying. At Euclid Beach on the flying turns, I'll bet you can't keep from smiling.
All right, it's Dave Plyer in for Steve Cochran this morning here on 720 WGN. So if you grew up in Chicagoland, you were bound to have your favorite amusement park. Maybe it was Riverview, Kiddyland, Dispenza's Kitty Kingdom, Old Chicago, Great America, or maybe it was the Three Worlds of Santa's Village. For 60 years, Santa's Village has entertained millions of visitors. And joining us to talk some history in the 2019 summer season, new rides, food, and more, is the owner and operator, Jason Serpian. Welcome back to the show, buddy.
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
Are you on a roller coaster right now, pal? I hear the wind in your hair.
It just feels like a roller coaster every day of my life. No, not at all.
I bet it does. Hey, 60th anniversary. Congratulations, man.
Hey, thank you very much. Looking forward to a really exciting addition a little later this summer. We're working hard on this addition of Santa Springs, we're calling it. It'll be our water park area. We're putting in a pretty large splash structure inside of a kiddie wading pool, basically, for this year. And it's going to be the start to a constant renovation and addition of a smaller, you know, water park area within our amusement park.
Well, you've done that ever since you've taken the place over. I mean, you've really, and I tell people this all the time, that, you know, there's a lot of amusement parks out there that are tired, they're outdated, they're not maintained. Your park is nothing short of pristine. The rides are all, you know, brand new, powder coated, clean, fabulous. And every time we go there, there's just something new and exciting happening there. And I think that's what makes this park so special.
Appreciate that. And as you know, I mean, you're one of my customers. You come out with the family, I think, every summer, and we get to sit down and chat a little bit, and I'm glad that you can honestly say that from a, you know, kind of a different perspective, not just sitting in the studio, but as one of my very good customers, and we appreciate you coming out when you do with your family. We certainly do.
Oh, same here, buddy. So this park, and I want to talk a little bit of the history. The park was it was about a guy that really said he had no Christmas during the Great Depression. His name was Glenn Holland. And in the early 1950s, he started sketching this idea for this park. And there were three Santa's villages originally. There were two out in California, and then randomly one here in Dundee.
That one, like, you know, I would have loved to have heard this story or this conversation way back when, how they went from California to, let's just throw a pin on a map and pick East Dundee, Illinois. But we're certainly glad that he did. You know, it's a park from my childhood as much as Kiddyland was, and enjoyed them both as a kid. And grew up as a kid, you know, a little bit older child, teenager working at Santa's Village, and then to be able to do what I'm doing now is just super exciting.
It is fantastic. And the park opened on Memorial Day 1959. So, I mean, today is actually the big anniversary, which is really, really cool. And is Don Holloman, is he still working for you?
He's still there.
That's fantastic.
I can't remember how many years he's got in now, but it's quite a few. He, you know, started off at Adventureland, and then he moved over to our park, I think right about 66, Santa's Village, as an assistant GM, and continued on as a GM for, until about 2003, toward the end of the original Santa's Village. And we were certainly excited to open up the attic doors, dust them off, and put them right back to work in 2010.
That's nice. That's nice. Well, and you mentioned...
I bet he does.
You know, and it's funny, too. You said in the original Santa's Village, it was closed for such a short time before you you took it over and brought it back to life. And what's really cool is, I mean, you know, you have all these great rides, and you brought so many things back that were in the original park. The Santa's Village fire truck, there's kids' game shows, there's magic shows, there's characters, there's all kinds of stuff. Santa, there's animals, and, you know, all these great rides. Talk about some of the just classic rides that you have here, Jason.
Well, I'd say the most classic, probably, honestly, it's probably a close tie, but I would say the snowball ride we brought back a few years back. Everybody remembers that one. Fire truck ride has been there since the mid-60s. We're doing a pretty nice little upgrade on the building. We're, you know, we've made the building itself much bigger over the years than what it used to be to make it a little more exciting. And we've got some pyrotechnicians coming in here in a few weeks to do some fun stuff.
That's great.
To make that building seem a little more real. You know, Santa Slide is there. The Convoy Ride is there. The balloon race is there. Antique cars.
Yeah, I love the antique cars. Yeah, the antique cars are one of my favorites as well. But in the snowball ride just looks so great. I just love that. You added a new roller coaster a couple years ago. And then, you know, you've restored a lot of these rides, too. So, I mean, it's a painstaking process for you.
Yeah, I mean, when a ride comes in, I mean, we haven't really brought in a used ride in a while. We've added a few new rides over the last couple of years, brand new. But, like that snowball ride, I think we're about 8 months in and a crew of probably 3 to 4, 5 to 6 days a week working on that ride. When we bring them in, we redo everything. There's a lot of testing of the metals that happens for safety, and it's just a huge process. And the painting of the cups, I mean, I've got some pretty talented painters. I mean, these guys do a fantastic job. I mean, true artists, you're talking probably 6, 7, maybe 8 layers of paint to make them look the way that they do. It's incredible what these guys do.
That's fantastic. Now, for those of us who also grew up at Kiddyland, you've got 3 of the original Kiddyland rides there, the Midget Racers, the Space Invasion, and the Kitty Whip ride. And it's a bit surreal to see it and hear the sound effects of these rides because, as I said, I went there. I went to both parks when I was a kid. And I also remember riding, you know, the fire truck. I don't think there was a seatbelt in sight back in the 1970s, but I know it's a little different now. But these Kiddyland rides are there, and you just redid those recently too, and they're just spectacular for the little ones.
Well, I'm gonna tell you that this is kind of a funny story. I have not announced anything or really even told much of my staff yet, but I'm gonna agree to disagree that we have 3 of the Kiddyland rides. In the fact that we actually acquired another one, and we haven't announced it.
Oh!
But just short of it being the old roller coaster from Kiddyland,
yeah,
it's probably the next most famous Kiddyland ride, but we haven't unveiled it yet. It'll take us a couple of years to get this ride up and going, but once we announce it, people are going to just go wild.
I'm going to guess what it is, but I'm not going to do it on air. I'll talk to you about it off air. But I bet I know what it is. And because I've seen it for sale, and I'm thinking to myself, God, God, where would somebody put? Because I remember when Kittyland closed, man. I mean, there's a lot of private collectors that took a lot of this stuff out of here, and I'm thinking, where do you put this after you buy it? And now it's been 10 years since that place has been closed. And yeah, I've got my guesses. We'll talk off air about that when I see you next. That'll be great.
That'll be fun. The ride was taken down and put away in storage. I mean, it looks like it did when it came out of Kittyland in 2009. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I know what it is. I'm going to take a guess. All right, so anyway, you also got a lot of new food stuff happening. So there's a lot of great stuff. You can bring stuff in, but you've got a lot of, I mean, you're grilling year-round out there.
Yeah, we brought in a chef at the end of last year to run our food and beverage business for us, and he's doing a lot of different tweaking. It's going to take a little while, but I mean, this guy's doing all kinds of great stuff. We're doing a lot of these food items. We're tying it back to our season pass holders and appreciation. So we're doing some different private season pass holder events that revolve around some of these barbecues that we're doing and buffets and brunches.
Oh, nice.
Breakfast with Santa. We're just doing all this really fun food stuff. And it's going to take a little bit, you know, to get it all dialed in. But man, is it going really, really good. Great selection of foods, great selection of special foods for special events, and it's just fantastic. You're doing a great job for us with this food selection.
That's great. And, of course, there's the animals, too. So, I mean, that's a nice little highlight in the park as well.
Yeah, definitely got some cool animals. Trying to think. We've got a few babies around here. It's that time of year. We're waiting on a few reindeer babies to come here shortly. Probably in the next few weeks, that'll be born at the park. And, there's just all kinds of stuff. Come on, see us. Lots of rides. I think we're at 22 mechanical rides, a couple hundred animals. Check out the aviary. We've got different shows this year, all year long. We have special events that are running, just constantly going on. Check out our calendar on our website at santasvillagedundee.com. All kinds of just different stuff this year. We've really done a lot. We've got the Smurfs coming out. Paw Patrol, kinds of different, just special events like every weekend. It seems like every day we've got something new and exciting going on.
That's fantastic. And you can do birthday parties there too and other parties.
We've taken our birthday parties to a different level. We've kind of enhanced, reinvented our birthday program. It goes along with the foods a little bit. We also put in this really nice glow room that is, I don't know, I checked it out myself. Obviously, it's really, really cool. Just this whole glow experience, it's really great for people to check out with their kids. And you can look at the birthday party packages on our website same way. But, definitely, we've got three birthday party rooms. We have a redemption arcade going in the next couple of weeks.
Oh, nice.
We've got a few new games. Man, there's all kinds of stuff going on. We look forward to seeing everybody out this summer. And, of course, Santa Springs later this summer, we're looking forward to being able to announce that.
Awesome. It's all at 601 Dundee Avenue in East Dundee, and you can visit santasvillagedundee.com for more information. And you've got a family four-pack that you're going to give away for us this morning, right?
Yes, sir.
That's fantastic. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take the seventh caller. You want a family four-pack to Santa's Village, and I'm telling you, folks, you're going to have a great time. Take the kids, take the grandkids. 312-981-7200. Again, that's 312-981-7200. We're going to give away to the seventh caller a family four-pack to Santa's Village. 312-981-7200. Jason, thank you so much for joining us, and you're open today till when, buddy?
From 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. today. Check out our calendar on our website. We've got all kinds of different hours, different operating schedule, and just like I said, just a million different events happening throughout the season this year.
All right. Thanks, buddy. Jason, have a great season. We'll see you soon.
Thanks, Dave. Take care.
All right. Take care, buddy. All right. Top stories are next on 720 WGN.
Ask not.
The circus is on the air.
The president doesn't.
Sometimes you feel like
that means that it is not illegal.
Sometimes you don't.
Tear down this wall.
Here's Jennings.
Hey, Luke. May the force be with you.
It was you, Kristen, who shot J.R.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
We're not gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
John's been waiting a long time to take the reins.
My name is Dave Letterman. Last night, I became a father. Thank you very much.
Today, Apple is going to reinvent the phone.
George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
For the third time in
six seasons, it's one goal achieved. The Chicago Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup. The Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup.
It's end time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series. The Cubs have done it.
And now, this is history.
You're going to need outstanding hosts.
With Dave Plyer.
It's a guy, but I love you.
And Dave Schwann on 720 WGN.
So a little thing we do on my show, we do a little history segment every single week, Dave Schwann and I. And Memorial Day, of course, is, let's talk about the true meaning of Memorial Day. So it started out, Dave, as Decoration Day, which unofficially began around the time the Civil War ended. When people began visiting the graves of fallen soldiers, various cities claimed to have originated the tradition. But where did it originate?
Well, one of the very, very first was Carbondale, Illinois, far southern Illinois, and General John A. Logan. And we were talking about this on Dean's show yesterday. John A. Logan.
Dean who?
Dean Richards. Yeah, the guy, the new guy.
Yeah, the new guy.
The new guy.
Exactly. Yeah.
John A. Logan was a Civil War general, and thought it would be appropriate for to honor the soldiers that had died in the Civil War. And there's a cemetery where there was a lot of veterans buried in Carbondale, and that was the site in 1868, the first part of May, not the end of May, but the first part of May, where he was the keynote speaker. And there were other sites around the country, but it, you know, the word got around, and everybody just was on board with it. And it was called Decoration Day up until, I don't know, after end of World War II, maybe the early 60s.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Yeah, the 60s,
They changed it. And when Congress, this goes back maybe 45 years or more now, Congress just decided, let's take Memorial Day and Labor Day and just make them three-day weekends.
Yeah.
4th of July, we leave alone, of course.
Yeah, of course.
It's the 4th of July.
Yeah, it is. Right.
Memorial Day, we can put the end of May and Labor Day at the beginning of September and just put it on always on those first Mondays.
President Johnson officially designated Waterloo, New York in 1966
as the
birthplace.
Right.
But yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We think it's Carbondale, though.
Yeah. Well, here you go. Decoration Day became Memorial Day in 67. Doylestown, Pennsylvania has the oldest Memorial Day parade. This year's Memorial Day traffic is expected to be one of the highest in the last 7 years. Between Memorial Day and Labor Day, because it's such a barbecuing weekend, Americans will eat about 8 billion hot dogs. The most popular...
Half of them eaten by Joey Chestnut.
Yeah, it could be. I know, right? Yeah, that's right. That's right. Most popular foods, of course, are burger, steak, hot dogs, and chicken in that order. Arlington National Cemetery averages about 28 funerals a day, which is amazing walking through there. Amazing.
Yeah.
Just an amazing experience.
Yep. Let alone the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, the changing of the guard.
That's right, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, so solemn.
No.
Yeah.
Well, just incredible.
Most municipalities will fly their flags at half staff until noon in recognition of Memorial Day. Alabama, Georgia, Louisiana, Tennessee, North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, and Texas all celebrate Confederate Memorial Day. The actual days are the of observances vary, but they still do that as well. At 3 p.m., the U.S. will take a minute of silence for the national moment of remembrance, and that was started by former President Bill Clinton, who signed the act establishing it back in 2019, years ago. Now, there was a speech that President Ronald Reagan made at Arlington National Cemetery back in 1984-85. That is the true meaning of Memorial Day. Let's take a listen.
Sometime back, I received in the name of our country the bodies of four Marines who had died while on active duty. I said then that there is a special sadness that accompanies the death of a serviceman, for we're never quite good enough to them. Not really. We can't be. Because what they gave us is beyond our powers to repay. And so when a serviceman dies, it's a tear in the fabric, a break in the whole, but all we can do is remember. It is, in a way, an odd thing to honor those who died in defense of our country, in defense of us, in wars far away. The imagination plays a trick. We see these soldiers in our mind as old and wise. We see them as something like the founding fathers, grave and gray-haired. But most of them were boys when they died, and they gave up two lives, the one they were living and the one they would have lived. When they died, they gave up their chance to be husbands and fathers and grandfathers. They gave up their chance to be revered old men. They gave up everything for our country, for us. We owe them a debt we can never repay. All we can do is remember them and what they did and why they had to be brave for us.
Once again, it's Dave Plyler and for Steve Cochran on 720 WGN. Memorial Day is a day we honor and pay tribute to the many brave generations who have fallen serving our country. Now, there's a clear difference between Memorial Day and Veterans Day. However, I also want to take this opportunity to discuss how we are taking care of our veterans and their families who have sacrificed so much to keep us free. And to join us to share those activities happening in Washington today and new initiatives that are in place to take care of our veterans is the Honorable Robert Wilkie. He's U.S. Secretary of Veterans Affairs, who oversees the nation's largest integrated healthcare system with 1,250 facilities serving more than 9 million enrolled veterans. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Dave, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. You are an Air Force Reserve Colonel. The VA has been near and dear to your heart for a very long time.
Yes, sir.
And your father served in Vietnam, and when he came home after his second tour, it is something you remembered when you accepted this opportunity to work for the VA.
Yes, I did on a couple of levels. My father was a big man for his day. About 6'2", 240, which in 1970 is large. Today it's not even a quarterback, but then it was. And he was terribly wounded in the invasion of Cambodia, spent a year recovering in an army hospital, and he came back to us weighing about half of what he did when he left. And only the good graces of a great soldier, Creighton Abrams, who became chief of staff of the army, General Abrams said, this officer will be allowed 3 years to recover, and he eventually did recover, but went back as a senior officer in the 82nd Airborne Division, but was not even allowed to wear his uniform off post because of the hostility of the times.
Right.
And that was on my mind when the president asked me to do this. I was the Undersecretary of Defense at the time. And those memories stuck with me, as did memories of going with my great-grandfather and grandfather to VA facilities in the South during my childhood. But that image of warriors being taken care of but not being welcome stuck with me and was certainly on my mind when I came to this position.
You mentioned your great-grandfather as well. He also impressed on you that cost paid by Americans across the country. Yeah,
he did. He took me to my first battlefield, and I was five. And then the second one was six. And he pointed to me the cost of conflict. In this case, it was the Civil War and the Battle of Shiloh, which was the first great, great battle of that war. And he said something interesting. I think he stole it from his friend Shelby Foote, that he often imagined Lincoln and Davis sitting there reading sheet after sheet of the casualty lists from that battle and wondering what they had gotten themselves into. And the statistics that I use, we've had 41 million Americans serve in uniform since the first shots were fired at Lexington, and about 1 million have given their lives. And I will say, I tend to get upset when people talk about things like the Greatest Generation. Having been part of this military world my entire life, there's not much difference between a youngster who's in Afghanistan and a youngster like my wife's grandfather, who was 17 years old, marching up the Champs-Élysées into the Battle of the Meuse-Argonne, which was the most terrible of battles. And they all come from the same places. They all have the same fears, and they have performed magnificently as, and awed the world with their service.
Well, and your own family as well. As you said, your father was an Army artillery commander prior to joining the Air Force. You served in the United States Navy Reserve with the Joint Forces Intelligence Command, Naval Special Warfare Group, and the Office of Naval Intelligence during the George W. Bush administration. Yeah, you served both Robert Gates and Donald Rumsfeld as Assistant Secretary of Defense, Special Assistant to the President for National Security Affairs, and a Senior Director for National Security Council under Dr. Condoleezza Rice.
Yes, sir.
This isn't your first rodeo.
No, this isn't. And those people that you named, and I would put Jim Mattis in there as well, I've learned from all of them. I've learned from the perspectives that they all had. Dr. Rice, the academic who had the long view of relations with Russia and China, Dr. Gates, who was the professional intelligence analyst, one of Chicago's own, Donald Rumsfeld. I probably learned the most from him because he was the most experienced. I first met him as a child when he was Secretary of Defense the first time. And Rumsfeld had the perspective of serving multiple presidents, serving in the House, being ambassador to NATO, and amongst all the other things that he did. And I watched him work the bureaucracy. And that was probably the most fascinating time of my career.
And now with the VA, this department has seen its share of controversy over the years, so it really provided you with a platform to make some significant changes on how the VA operates.
Yes. And I will say this about the president. I'm a pretty good historian and have been accused of being that by members of the Senate. And there's been no president in the post-World War II era who has talked about veterans as much as this president has. I mean, you go to any of his rallies, he talks about it, first as a candidate, now as president. And he has backed that up by giving me incredible leeway to initiate basic reforms that will turn this place into a modern 21st century healthcare administration. We're testing many of these things out in Chicago, particularly when it comes to something that is basic as the modernization of our supply chain. So you don't read any more stories about doctors running across the parking lot to a private hospital to get equipment that they should have had to begin with.
Absolutely.
We're testing that out in Chicago. We're testing out the electronic health record in the Pacific Northwest. Since you mentioned my father, I don't want any more soldiers walking around in their lives with 800-page paper records. So what we'll be doing is building a record from the moment that young American walks into the military entrance processing station. And then in addition to that, the legislation that the president signed on mission, which finally recognizes and supports financially the families who take care of those who served in Southeast Asia. I mentioned when we started the discussion, I still can see the orders and the effects of soldiers, effects on soldiers who are not allowed to wear their uniforms off post. And this is Fort Bragg in southeastern North Carolina. This is in Berkeley, California,
right,
Massachusetts.
Right.
And I remember those times, and I hope we never see them again.
Well, we are talking to the Honorable Robert Wilkie, Secretary of the Department of Veterans Affairs, and there's more with him next on 720 WGN.
WGN.
And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that light to me, and I gladly stayed.
State Plyer on 720 WGN. We're talking to the U.S. Secretary for the Department of Veterans Affairs, Robert Wilkie. Secretary Wilkie, May is Mental Health Month, and roughly 20 veterans commit suicide a day. About 70% of those veterans, which is surprising to me, were not regular users of, of VA services. One is too many. What programs are we doing to help these veterans and reduce the number to zero?
Well, Dave, let me break down those numbers even more. You're correct that 70% of them have no contact with VA. Half of those, that 20, have never been deployed. So I shoot back at people who say that this is a consequence of constant rotation in and out of Iraq and Afghanistan. The problems are much deeper than that. But the 20, one a day is on active duty, two to three or four are guardsmen and reservists, most of whom have never deployed, and 14 of that 20, 14 we've never had contact with. If you look at the number of suicides that have occurred on our VA facilities, there's nothing that ties them together. Last month in Cleveland, a veteran took his life because he did not want to live with the prospect of disfiguring surgery, surgery that would have removed an eye, removed part of his jaw and his vocal cords. And he came to VA, sadly took his life, and left us a note asking us to take care of his mother, who had been caring for him. You mentioned the biggest issue. If I just focus on the sad end, the sad act of taking one's life, then I think we're doing an injustice to the issue. We haven't even begun to get our arms around mental health in this country. We're at the we're not even at the Sputnik stage when it comes to that. The president's National Task Force on Suicide Prevention, which I lead, is looking at the entire range of issues: opioid addiction, homelessness, mental health, financial instability. And I do think that there is a deeper issue, and that is we need to have a national conversation. The last time I testified for Congress, which was about 2 weeks ago, and the day I testified, New York Times ran a massive piece about the incredible spike in teen suicides in the aftermath of a Netflix show called 13 Reasons Why.
Right. Yeah.
It was a 30% spike. And veterans are the most visible part of this, but we need a national conversation on life and mental health.
Well, and there's another issue here, too, is obviously some of these veterans and people in general who are in that situation and are in such a dark place.
Right.
Cannot help themselves. They are not going to make the phone call. They are not going to reach out. And I know you have resources for family and friends to get involved to help them get the assistance that they
need. Well, I think I have to fall back on some of the programs that I worked on with General Mattis. We have an all-volunteer force. We are not in the state that we were in the 1960s and 70s, where you really didn't have to pay a great deal of attention to the well-being and future well-being of those in uniform, because there was always tens of thousands coming through the pipeline to replace them.
Mm-hmm.
This is a different day. We have a limited number of Americans who are eligible for military service, and those who are eligible, we have to take better care of. So the issue of mental health education now begins when those youngsters hit boot camp, and it spreads throughout their career. For VA, everyone who comes to us receives a mental health screening, and since October, we have screened 900,000 veterans. About 3,000 of those we are constantly monitoring because they have given us indications that they may want to harm themselves. So we we do profiles on everyone who comes in now. We also have same-day mental health services in all of our facilities. And I would argue that suicide prevention is really America's business. And we at VA have, I think we've gotten off to a better start in terms of providing a whole of government and a whole health approach to this.
Now, I want to mention this, too. There's a Veterans Crisis Line, and we'll put it on our website as well. It's 1-800-273-8255.
That's
800-273-8255, and you can press 1 or text 838-255. That's 838-255, and there's trained professionals available also at veteranscrisisline.net. Yeah.
Dave, let me tell you, we get about 1,700 calls a day at that crisis line. About 100 of those calls require our immediate action. And I can say that we have saved lives because of this, but anyone in your audience who wants to talk to us, please reach those. Get those numbers and call us. I would also say that in terms of changing attitudes, we take care of those who have been discharged in an other than honorable circumstance. We have contacted 500,000 service members who were discharged in an other than honorable adjudication and reached out to them and asked them to come to us, because many of those cases, those individuals suffered a traumatic brain injury. And we have given them notice that because of that, we want to help. And that is a change in the culture, because in the old days, if you had another than honorable discharge, you were shown the door, and that was the last contact that the military had with you.
Right.
We don't want to ever see a return to the dark days of the 1970s and late 60s when America forgot that it had sent its young people over the ocean to fight in Southeast Asia and then did not welcome them when they came home. We as a people will be in a very dark place if we ever allow that to happen again. And it is a special honor for me to participate in those services. And I'll say one other thing, and I think General Eisenhower stole this line from George Orwell as to what it means to be a veteran. And he said that you exist, you soldiers exist, to remind your fellow citizens why they sleep soundly at night. And I can think of no better way to describe our mission than we remind our fellow Americans that they sleep soundly at night because of the sacrifices of their fellow citizens.
The Honorable Robert Wilkie, U.S. Secretary of Veterans Affairs, I truly appreciate your time on this Memorial Day, sir.
Well, I thank you. I thank you for everything you do, and I will look forward to seeing you when I'm in Chicago.
Sounds terrific. Thanks again, sir.
All right. Yes, sir.
Gary Meyer live in studio after a look at your morning traffic.
And at 7:16, expressways and tollways for the most part moving well. One problem on the Stevenson, the right lane blocked after an earlier truck fire inbound just after Harlem Avenue. So stop and go traffic on the Stevenson inbound from Harlem to Central. Also, the CTA, Pace, and South Shore lines operating on their holiday schedules for this Memorial Day holiday.
Hello, boys!
He's back! He's back! He's back!
I'm back!
Ready to have a good time.
Well, come on. What are we waiting for? Let's go.
This is exciting, isn't it?
No.
Yes.
All right, we're on. Hello, testing.
Welcome aboard the Dreamliner.
Hello.
These are the names of the pilots.
Okay.
Sum Ting Wong.
Okay.
Wee Too Low.
Okay.
And Po Lee.
Whoa. What the hell happened?
This was a nice evening.
But wait, there's more.
Four, three, two. Gary.
Oh, Gary!
Welcome back.
He's down on the phone.
I am proud of you, my man.
What is this? Ponderous, man. Ponderous. Ponderous.
He's Gary Meyer.
And now, joining Dave Plyer in studio, here's Gary Meyer.
Gary. How are you doing, buddy?
Thank you, Duffy. Now, let me bring Tom Skilling in so we can have a nice conversation.
Of course. Hello.
I'm flashing back.
You are flashing back. Welcome to the Skyline Studios, Mr. Meyer.
Thank you.
Nice view. Nice view of the Tribune Tower being torn apart.
Okay, I'm going to get into it right now. First of all, did you bike the drive yesterday?
I did not bike the drive. I was sleeping.
It's that one day in Chicago where you feel like you're in Bangladesh. It's such a great feeling.
It is a great feeling.
God, this is what it's like to be in another country.
Yeah,
I can ride a bike all day.
It is a little bit. But yeah, you got the view still of the Tribune Tower.
David, I don't know if you know this, but this is not a visual medium.
No, this is not.
I like how you guys talk about the great view.
The great view.
This is radio, buddy.
That is true.
Nobody can see this.
That is true. Hey, we both have graduates this year. Congratulations.
How about that?
Yeah.
And for those of you who have a child entering high school or college, that 4 years evaporates.
It does
so quickly. It's frightening.
It was shocking how quickly it went. But you know what's funny? I had people had asked me why I hadn't posted pictures yet as of yesterday of my son's graduation, and I said, you know what? I actually just wanted to enjoy the moment while it's happening. Give me a break, just once, you know, right?
But you feel
this
pressure, right?
I feel the pressure to put it up online, and I'm like, nope, I need a little breathing room. I'm going to enjoy this live myself.
I don't know about you, but when we went to our daughter's graduation, they had a reception the night before, and I was walking in the building that was her first dorm building.
Yeah.
And I thought a month ago I was bringing a couch in here, and it's over.
It's over already.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know what they say after 50, David?
Yeah, what's that?
What do they say?
It's over?
No, it's like you're having breakfast every 15 minutes. And it is.
I like that. Yeah, that's what it feels like.
I'm going back to the solar eclipse. I think things have not been right since that solar eclipse. Everything seems off. The globe is spinning faster. Something's wrong. It's like one of these drawbridges when they go up and then they don't match up after they put them down again. Yeah. Something's still not right.
I feel like I haven't just caught up with time anymore. I feel like very well planned out ahead. I'm always like, you know, weeks ahead of my game. And like, I feel like, okay, oh my God, it's summer. It's Memorial Day weekend. And Memorial Day weekend's almost over already. My son's going to college. It's crazy.
I know. And boy, that's a feel good on a Monday morning. Your life is spinning so fast, it'll
control.
Be over soon. Don't worry about anything.
It's totally true. Yeah. It's totally true. So here we are on Memorial Day, and I'm a guy that truly embraces tradition. And there is something that I remember long even before WGN that you used to air on Memorial Day and Veterans Day. And it's something your father recorded many, many years ago.
Right.
Yeah.
About 30-some years ago. He was sitting at his kitchen table and reflecting on a battle he engaged in on Christmas Eve in World War II.
Yeah.
And it was so powerful, that 13 or 14 minutes of tape, that when I brought it into the radio station, we decided we got to play this, and the reaction was just overwhelming. And then after that, for the most part, I played it at least Veterans Day.
Yeah, Veterans Day, right.
And I just kind of saved it for Veterans Day, but Memorial Day works too.
But he talks about in this tape, because I remember this, he talks about his friends that he didn't see again.
Well, this is what the day is all about. Yeah. Those people that fought, served, and died. So this is the day.
And there's a big difference between Memorial Day and Veterans Day that a lot of people do get confused about. I mean, this is the day that you honor those who are no longer with us that died in battle.
Right.
Yeah.
The sad part is we only have 2 days that we highlight for our service people. That's wrong. That should be almost every day, some way or another. I know people think, well, it's a great time, some people, for a mattress sale, but no, it should be all the time, and our veterans should be taken care of a lot better than they usually are.
Now, when your dad did this, I mean, he never sat down and really had long conversations with you about the war, and guys back then in that Greatest Generation, they didn't do that.
No. In fact, when you have something like this, it's considered very unique because they buried all that, and I don't blame them, because when you just hear this tape, it's so horrendous. It's such hell that why would you want to remember that?
Yeah.
Because it is frightening what they went through.
Well, and
still go through.
But there was also no real recognition of any mental health issues.
No, they didn't have that. They didn't know PTSD and how to treat that. They didn't even acknowledge it, even with Vietnam vets. In fact, you had somebody, your guest, just before we started
Robert
speaking.
Wilkie,
I hear him talking about suicides.
Yeah.
And on this day when I was on WGN, I remember there was an editorial in the Chicago Tribune, and the writer was focusing on this Vietnam vet who had committed suicide, and he gave the stats for Vietnam vets who had committed suicide, yeah. And it's staggering.
It is staggering.
And I'm thinking, oh my God, we don't hear about that enough.
No, and a lot of these guys, though, also don't engage with VA services as well, so they're kind of out there on their own with no help whatsoever.
But we hear these stories, David, about how they have to beg for money for these hospitals and stuff. Yeah. And I'm thinking, come on, that should be job one with our government.
Top line.
Yes.
For these guys.
No debate. No, let's debate. Let's quibble over the money. Let's negotiate.
Right.
No.
Right.
What do they need?
My grandfather was a World War II vet and, was shot, you know, so he had scars on his legs and so forth. And I've got his Purple Heart. And he was a guy that I would watch war movies with him. He never discussed it with me. Probably treated some of what he saw by smoking like a chimney, knocking back a few Manhattans every night. That was the treatment for those issues.
Well, this is a rather benign anecdote, but it says a lot, I think. I was watching Hogan's Heroes one day when my father walked in, and he starts watching this, and he goes, "You think this is funny?" And I thought, I don't have the lens that he has about what that is. This was a sitcom about prisoners of war. So think about it. They made a sitcom out of it.
In the 60s, Bing Crosby, loving man.
Of course he was. Yes, ask one of his kids.
Put this on the air. And I think about that, too. Yes, I guess it's a funny show, but when you think about the concept, and I explained it to my kids just one day, I was flashing through the stations, and I'm like, no, this is about being in a camp, and they're like, oh, my
it's
God,
a sitcom.
This is a comedy?
Right. They made the Nazis look like buffoons, and they could escape whenever they want and come back whenever they wanted. And my father thought, this is not funny.
No.
Let me tell you the real story.
Not funny at all. I've got an excerpt, and we're going to put the whole thing on our website at WGNradio.com when we post the podcast. But before we go to break, I want to play just a little bit of, just to put your mind where Frank Meyer was, talking about his experience in World War II and the fact that he was speaking and hanging out with these guys, and then some of them were gone. Let's take a listen.
My thoughts are reflected in December of 1944. Our division had just received word that the Germans had broken through our lines and had advanced 50 miles into Belgium. The whole mood at the time in our camp was one of concern and apprehension, for we all thought that the war would soon be over since we were now fighting on German soil. I knew that being an infantryman in General Patton's Third Army meant a lot of action. The next morning, our outfit started out on foot toward the front. We were told to keep moving until we engaged the enemy, for at this point, we did not know where the Germans had advanced to. We had walked about 20 miles that day and took refuge that evening out in the open, digging our foxholes and keeping watch all that night. The next morning, we started out once again. I was trying to stay as close to my little Italian friend because warm K rations now were very appealing to me. It wasn't long, however, that I heard rifle fire ahead, and our lieutenant yelled, "Hit the side of the road." I jumped immediately to a ditch covered with snow and laid there frightened with the realization that this would be my first major engagement with the enemy. We were now being shelled and pinned down by German tanks firing from the reverse side of the slope, which was from a little town of Hastert, Belgium. Our artillery started its barrage, but some of the shells were falling short into our own lines. This soon was corrected, and we inched our way closer so that our firepower from our company and the other flanking us would become very effective. Needless to say, the battle raged on all that day and late into the afternoon. The medics were hurrying about picking up the wounded. By nightfall, the few remaining Germans had surrendered, and the tanks had rambled off to the next town, which was Eschdorf. I was amazed at how young some of the Germans were, 16, 17 years of age. They were all dressed in white fur-lined garments, which of course was hard to see when they were blended in with a snowy background. We still had our brown khakis and made a good target laying out there in the snow. Our outfit was quickly assembled, and we were told that night that we would make an attack at about 1 a.m. Our objective was the town of Eschdorf. After a warm meal and a few hours' rest, we again set out to meet the enemy. We had not gone very far when the Germans opened fire and pinned us down. Off in a distance, I heard some of our tanks coming up in position. Before they even stopped, the German Tiger tanks had opened fire and made direct hits on two of our tanks. I heard the men screaming, and then there was total silence. I laid there motionless on the frozen snow, looking up at the stars of heaven. It was a clear night, and all the stars twinkled. At this moment, I realized it was Christmas Eve. Christ was born today, 1944 years ago.
So what did you think about when you heard this or even knew he did this? Did that even surprise, like, how did he tell you?
I know the moment like it was yesterday. It's about 30-some years ago now. I walked into the house. He was sitting at the kitchen table, and all of us of that era had that little Panasonic recorder. Did you have one of those?
Yeah, of course.
With the little buttons there and stuff?
You betcha.
So he's sitting there, and he just finished, and he said, I want you to listen to something I just did. And I sat there, and I was speechless. I couldn't believe what I was hearing.
What year was this?
I'd say 83.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're still on the air with Steve doing your show.
Yes. And my father died in 91. A footnote here, he had a heart attack in 91. He didn't die the day of the heart attack, but over the next 6 months, they needed more parts to repair him. Right. And because of his injuries in the war, he had no parts left. So he was 68 years old when he died. My mother just turned 91. She's still alive.
Congratulations and best to her.
And I'll never forget how powerful that tape was. And it's just interesting because when I hear that, I picture him sitting there at the kitchen table. And I remember the day, again, like it was yesterday.
What do you think propelled him to even do it?
Well, I think those guys needed to let some of it out.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've mentioned over the years on the air how one day my brother slammed his bedroom door and my father was sleeping and jumped up and thought he was in the war because he heard what he thought was an explosion.
My grandfather would have dreams too.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The day he was wheeled into the hospital, the day of the heart attack, my mother was standing next to him and he said, where are the hand grenades? He thought he was in the war again. The flashbacks and all of those horrors that come back, and I think, to the earlier point, they suppressed them, but at some point you got to say something, right?
Yeah.
Because you can't believe what you saw.
Yeah. And of course, he went in with so many people that he knew that he didn't come back with.
Also. Right. Yeah. That guy he talks about on that tape where that guy had a Bunsen burner and that was their heat. And then he sees him lying dead on the ground holding the Bunsen burner, that kind of stuff. And the German soldiers they were killing, he said, were 16.
But when you hear it from the voice of somebody that was there, it's ever more impactful.
Oh, my God. These guys that go and do this still to this day, you can't fathom what they must see and have to do.
But see, but you did this on the air, and we've got a lot of hosts that do this on the air too, and I do as well. I mean, we talk about our veterans more frequently than just twice a year. We do it this at
right.
the station, and you do as well.
Right, right. Because again, they deserve more than 2 days a year, and they deserve all the help they can get.
All right, we're going to have some more with Gary Meyer after the news next on 720 WGN. All right, State Player and in for Steve Cochran this morning. We're hanging out in studio with radio legend Gary Meyer.
That and $2. On
Gary
the G,
Meyer.
On the blower.
You are on the blower, man.
Hey, isn't this the day you launch your jet skis in the Chano Lakes? Isn't this a big day for you and your family?
Of course, yeah, something like that.
Yeah, and then you tie them up to other jet skis and drink?
Something like that, yeah.
The Chano Lakes. You can't beat that Memorial Day weekend.
You cannot. Being on a lake on Memorial Day? No, come on. We were talking a little bit about your dad's tape and World War II, and I was looking at the numbers here that I think people need to understand is the total number of Americans sacrificed their lives in World War II was almost 500,000. It was like 405,000. Deadliest war was a civil war, 498. In perspective, World War I, 116,000. Vietnam, 90,000. Korea, 54,000. Persian Gulf, 1565. The war on terror that we've been fighting now, Iraq and so forth, 7,000.
It just keeps on going.
Yeah, it just keeps on going. A recent poll said that nearly 62% of Americans don't understand the difference between Memorial Day and Veterans Day. And a Vietnam veteran, saw this in the Tribune the other day, when people thank veterans on Memorial Day or when restaurants offer free meals to veterans, it bothers a lot of them because it's not about us. It's about our brothers and sisters who died alongside us while in uniform.
Right.
Yeah.
And again, as time goes on, it seems like when I was a kid, I would see a lot of veterans out in their uniforms on the street, and there was some presence of the day and what it meant, and that seems to have faded, sadly.
Yeah, it has a little bit. It has. I have a friend that died 16 years ago, Captain Shay Mahaffey. He was an active reservist. He was married to a good friend of mine. He was called to duty in December of 05. By May, he was critically wounded by an IED while on patrol south of Baghdad. Like, it happened that fast. He was just dad, lawyer, committee guy, neighborhood guy, went right to war and died on May 15th. And got something to remember. We are home of the free because of the brave.
Mm-hmm. That's something right? 2 days to acknowledge that. So if you can extend that a little bit, and these hospitals and whatnot that need help, we should give them all our support any way we can.
Absolutely. And our veterans, too. Like, again, I like talking about our veterans on Memorial Day because those are the guys that are here.
You ever do one of those honor flights?
I have not.
I haven't either, but I've heard tell that, of course, these guys are dying, the World War II vets, if there are any left, are dying at the rate of about 5,000 a day.
Yeah.
So that's not going to be around much longer.
No. What was it, about a year ago that the last World War I vet was, a year or two ago?
I think so, yeah.
Like the last remaining, he was 15, that he lied on his paperwork to get in.
Right.
That's why, of course, this guy was still around.
What were you doing at 15?
Yeah, not that.
Exactly.
Not that. I feel like an idiot just thinking about what I was doing at 15 years old. All right, I'll tell you what. More with Gary Meyer. We're going to take a look at your morning traffic. Dave? All right, it's Dave Plyer on 720 WGN. A lot of nice texts this morning, and all about Gary. Like, what a nice surprise this morning. Gary Meyer live in studio.
Thank you. Hey, I had a blast when I worked at WGN. We were on Michigan Avenue.
That's right.
The best studio I ever worked
in. You did Memorial Day outside.
I would go outside in the plaza outside the studio, and now there looks like they're tearing down the Trib Tower. I don't know what they're doing there, but a lot of it is being hacked up.
Inside and outside.
Yeah, it's too bad. Yeah. Another iconic building being defaced. Hey,
you can live there, though.
Right,
you
now,
too, get
as
place.
A bomb? What do you mean?
Eventually.
No, you mean before the cops throw you out because
exactly.
It's vacant.
Exactly.
I was looking up at the TV monitor you have on here, and you've got WGN TV on, and I saw this story. On the bottom, it said, Spice Girls reunion concert has bad sound, and I'm thinking, that's a redundant statement, isn't it? I mean, all you have to say is Spice Girls reunion concert. Yeah. I get it.
Yeah, I'm not excited about that.
Yeah, but here they are.
Here they are. Yeah. Exactly. You were talking about what we were doing at 15 years old compared to some of these guys that served in World War II. What was your first job? Because now I'm reading all this stuff out there that teens aren't at the same rate as they were in the 70s and the 60s and 50s about getting a summer job.
I've been traveling a lot over the last 6 months, and every city I've been to, there are dozens and dozens of help wanted signs in all kinds of businesses. Yeah. And I'm thinking, okay, do people not want to work? Are there not enough people to go out there and work?
Yeah.
And a lot of these are those fast food jobs that we did when we were kids. And that was a job you did just to make some money, go to the prom or whatever you needed to do. But that was the function of that job.
Yeah, absolutely. And plus now they're paying $15 an hour, so small businesses can't hire these guys for minimum wage anymore.
Right. And I know these fast food places are thinking, robotics, we can eliminate all of this problem with robotics, and you're going to see more and more robots.
Oh, the McDonald's down here. It's
right.
Exactly that.
Making
you
your quarter pounder.
Yeah. You don't talk to anybody. They hand you a bag and you're gone.
Right.
Absolutely. What was your first job?
I worked at a pancake house as a busboy, and this is when people could smoke in restaurants.
Oh, nice.
So often I'd clear the table, and they took their cigarette and put it out of the remaining pancake. And I had to go clean that, because then I washed the dishes, and I was thrilled to get the job. I remember when I got the call, hey, we're going to hire you as our busboy dishwasher. Yeah. I was thrilled.
Yeah.
And then I worked in a drugstore for years.
That
and
I
again,
remember.
I love those jobs because it was extra money as a kid. That's all they were. I wasn't going to raise a family on being a busboy at a pancake
15, 16
house.
16 years old.
No, although there were people there that I think were.
My first job was working for the water and sewer department, building up creek beds along the Des Plaines River. But it was morning. It was 6 o'clock in the morning, so you had to get your ass out of bed at 5:15, shower, get to work. So it actually taught me something, because I'm reading all this stuff. There was a survey out about, like, kids are doing more things for summer education, extracurricular activities, personal development programs. But I feel like I actually learned my life skills from my early jobs.
I agree. And how are you going to buy your fireworks for the 4th if you don't have these jobs? Your illegal fireworks in Illinois.
That's right, that's
well, how
right.
do you do that?
Yeah, I don't get that. So, I mean, that's how I kind of learn responsibility. I mean, people say, oh, they're going to go away to college and learn responsibility. I learned it at 15 years old. My son in 8th grade went and got a work permit from his principal at the end of the year at 8th grade so he could start saving up for a car.
Here's the bit on my podcast. I've been talking about this a lot because it seems like there is trash along every highway in America.
Yeah.
And I don't know if because they don't have the personnel to pick it up anymore. I want to see more animals at work. So if I could see some chimpanzees picking up trash, if they can't do that, and I think these animals want to work, that would make me feel better at an expressway if I'm bumper to bumper. Chimpanzees picking up trash. But get these kids out here. There should
novel.
Be no trash on the side of our highways. Yeah. Get these kids out there. Pick up the trash, damn it.
Yeah. Last year, teen employment increased by 1.3 million, but it was down from 4% from 10 years earlier. I don't think it's ever hit the level of the 1970s and the 1980s.
No. You could furnish an apartment with the furniture that's on the side of the road and put new tires, not new tires, but there are tires on the side of the road.
Yeah.
Anything you want is there.
Yeah.
It's
slightly
crazy.
Used, as they say.
What's that?
Slightly used.
Slightly
tires.
Used. Right.
Softly broken in.
Softly broken.
But didn't the first job also teach you how to actually manage money?
Yes.
So you knew how much money you had for gas, but how much money to go and take somebody out and do your
responsibility,
thing, right?
The whole rhythm of I got to be at work, I got to be responsible and all that.
Yeah.
Well, so why are they not doing these things? What's the deal?
There's other
what's
things.
What's the
there's
deal
extra,
with
extra,
that?
Extracurricular activities. They're going to more classes in the summer. Personal development at 16. I think part of the personal
what's
development
that?
Has to be.
Personal. We mean put on the next Instagram photo?
That might be. And plus, it teaches social skills. I mean, you know, again, I see a lot of my son's a social kid. You know my kid. He's a really social young man, but not every kid is like that. The way they converse with somebody is through Snapchat. When he says, hey, I talked to a couple of my buddies, I said, did you talk to them? Did you actually hear a voice? No, it was through Snapchat.
Right. A 14-year-old boy is missing the experience of calling a girl's house, and when the parent picked up, you hung up. That experience is gone.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Exactly.
Or put the fear of God in you a little bit that you better have some respect for this young lady because you just talked to her father.
Right. Now the introduction is a naked picture of themselves.
Yeah.
That's the start.
That is the start of the conversation.
Where do you go from there?
Yeah, where do you go from there?
Damn kids.
First job,
I worked in a small store in a local shopping mall. And we talk about minimum wage being about 15 bucks. I got minimum wage. It was $2.25
an hour. $3.35
for
me. And
I was really happy to have
in
that
my
job.
Day. And we walked 15 miles to go. There,
isn't it?
But I was, these damn kids,
but Gary. It was like you said. I was happy to have that job.
And oh, me
because
too, man.
I did have the money to do stuff.
Yeah.
I did have the money to take my girlfriend out. I had money to save for it, buy a cassette tape recorder, so
right?
I could mess around and record everything off the radio.
It's all different now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Musicland was my first big job, and so working in the music business, Ticketron used to get discounts on tickets. The mullet, I had the ponytail, the whole 9 yards. How about you?
What was I was sweeping hair at a hair salon.
Oh.
And I learned how to do laundry there.
He didn't work there. He just went there and swept hair.
Well, yeah. I just figured out.
And then he made wigs.
I'd bust in,
And then he'd sold wigs out of his trunk.
Exactly. Well, actually, out the back of my bike. I was only 15 at that time. But the guy paid me in cash, didn't know my name, and it was all good.
Yeah.
He paid you in cash.
Oh, yeah.
I like that. But,
no W-2 at the beginning of the year.
But I also, had no W anything.
But I also heard parents say, I'm trying to get him to work. I try to get him to go out and fill out some applications. Yeah, I don't know if it's going to happen this summer. I think part of that is, too, just some parenting 101.
Well, there's a lot of bad parents.
I was told very strongly, you will get a job.
I mean, no offense. I could write a check tomorrow and buy all three of my kids a car. I'm not going to do that. That's not how I was brought
up. Well, you work 24/7.
I do work 24/7.
This is not your real job.
This is not my real job.
This is one of... You're like the Steve Harvey of Chicago. You have about six jobs.
That is me. I'm
Ryan
Steve Harvey. I've never even been told that before.
One of those guys.
Yeah.
Too many jobs.
But I'm saying, and so could a lot of parents. They could write a deposit for a check or whatever for a car, but that's not going to teach any responsibility. Like, my son knew if he wanted to buy a car, he had to put some money down on it. And I remember as a kid, if I wanted to get insurance paid for by my parents, I had to keep a certain grade point average. Otherwise, those dollars started, getting higher and higher every single month. And that's the same deal I made with my son. Well, and he hits his grades, man, and he makes monthly payments.
I know we sound like No Country for Old Men here, but how many times do you cringe when you hear a 60-year-old got a new car for graduating or not even graduating?
Oh, yeah.
They got a new car when they graduated high school at 18.
With a bow on the roof.
Exactly. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
But there's a lot, social media, especially the Hollywood elite, that post their kids, or the kids post all the time, that look what I got for my 17th birthday or my 19th birthday.
And some of the Hollywood parents did for their children to get them into...
Well, think about that, yeah.
Yeah, I was sitting on the beach in Southern California once, and these 15-year-old guys standing there, maybe 15, and they're all talking about something, and so I leaned in, and they're comparing their Rolex watches.
Wow.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. They post all this stuff. So the expectations of some of these other kids are, well, I'm going to have that too, obviously. Yeah.
How bitter do we sound? Let's 591-7200. It's a bitter Memorial Day.
That's still a number here.
Boy.
Welcome to the grumpy old
981.
Why don't we just get a therapist in here and call it a day? I guess.
No, but I mean, that just teaches responsibility.
Sure, it does.
My son, you know, has been working for the Cubs now a little while, and then he does volunteer work and stuff, and that's how
you learn how to be a man. We're still trying to absorb the Game of Thrones finale. That didn't go right.
No,
we still got to get through that.
That's totally true.
What about Big Bang Theory? That finale, that didn't get anything.
No, that didn't get anything.
What the hell?
You know what, though? That any finales now will never top ratings, never top anything than the MASHes.
Well, how many shows do people go, hey, do you watch this? Do you watch that? I don't know these shows. There's so many.
No. Yeah, I don't know them anymore either. Yeah, there's no communal water cooler moment the next day.
I don't feel so bad now. I thought I was the only one.
No. By the time I'm done with The Bachelorette, I have little time for anything else.
Yeah, right? I know. Right. That's right. That's right. But I mean, there is no communal viewing anymore. I think 9 times out of 10 when someone mentions a show to me, I have no idea what they're talking
right.
about.
Right.
I mean, I go back and I look.
Okay.
And
I am completely hooked on this Jeopardy guy.
Yeah.
I'm blown. I mean, he's got such a wide breadth of knowledge on everything.
He does.
The
reigning champ now.
Didn't he just surpass 2 million? I didn't see it Friday, but he's over 2 million, right?
Yeah.
He's over 2 million already.
And he's done it in a fraction of the time that Ken Jennings did it in.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like such an idiot. This guy, I'm thinking, who knows that?
And then you got the host who's his own battle.
Isn't that a weird combo platter?
And he's going to keep going. I mean, as long as his body's going to tell him to do it, he's going to keep working this guy.
Yeah, I hope, but
he's been joking. He has another couple years on his contract. He has to continue.
Well, I said that too. Look where it got me. That doesn't mean anything in this business.
That's true.
Yeah, you can say whatever you want.
Touché.
Yeah.
That is true.
Whatever this business, whenever they go, hey, can I see you after your show? Don't go there.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, go home. Ignore that.
Exactly. Where do people find your podcast, Gary?
GaryMeyer.com.
Yeah, and you're doing 3 days a week?
5 days.
Yeah.
Three are free. Two are under subscription. That's what keeps it going. Bettenhausen Automotive, a fine sponsor. And, I'm loving it. It's a lot of fun.
You want to hang out a little while longer? Elliot Bamper from Chicago's Best is coming in.
Whatever you want to do.
We're talking ice cream.
You're the man.
All right, we'll be
on the blower.
All right, on the blower at 720 WGN. Day player on this Memorial Day Monday, and for Steve Cochran this morning, Gary Meyer still hanging out in the studio. Good morning to you once again, sir.
Hey, thank you for the invite.
And summer's the best time to explore some great places to cool off and enjoy a frozen treat. And to break it all down is Elliot Bambra. He is host of WGN TV's.
You thought he was going to go to beer, right?
What's that?
I thought he was going to beer. I was like, sure.
Yeah, cold beer.
Yeah.
That's what I meant
thought
to
he
say.
Said. You're going
to
be bare.
Oh, you can be.
Yeah, that's cold.
Yeah.
That's nice and cold. Jump in the lake and, hey, there's shrinkage.
They need to put an ice cream plate in the lake, in Lake Michigan.
I like that idea.
So what is the water temperature? 32?
It's
37.
It's warm enough.
Yeah,
I mean,
it is
come
right
on.
Now.
It's got to be in the 40s.
We'll ask Dave when he comes back in here. I'm probably it is the 40s
yeah,
at this point.
Yeah, I would have thought so. It's going to take a little while longer to
it's
warm up.
High beams are up.
That's true too. Summer treats, ice cream in Chicago. You know, you've got some favorites.
Doesn't everyone have a favorite?
Did you grow up? I mean, you grew up in Chicago. What was like your go-to ice cream place when you were a kid?
Right out of the box here, it's Rainbow Cone.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
I'm Weston.
Oh my God, we would load up the station wagon. It's my brothers and sister at five, and the parents, and we get and go over there, and that's still there.
It is,
and it's pretty much the building. Everything's the same.
Where else are they selling?
Thanks, Gary. That was on my list. So thanks for stealing one of them.
Jeez.
That's
very territorial.
There's a location on Navy Pier now as well.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Aren't they serving, though, at Buena Beef? Aren't they starting to do, not that I'm dinging everybody here, but I think they're starting to serve Rainbow Cone at all their locations.
They are?
Because, I mean, you really do have to trek to the south side to get that. Yeah.
But that's half the fun of going to Rainbow Cone is going to. I mean, I love that location on Western is just packed full of history and, you know.
I'm going to guess you're not from around here originally. So how did you discover Rainbow Cone when you... I mean, seriously, how did you learn about it?
It's iconic, isn't it? I mean, you know, I love food. So, I mean, even though I wasn't born here originally, one of the things that I love about Chicago is its culture. It's you know, it's a proud town, and it's this incredible food tradition that's here. You know, the brownie was born here,
right.
The Italian beef, you know, the Hiburrito in some respects was born here. Everything about Chicago has some attachment to food, and everyone's very proud of it. Everyone has a favorite neighborhood hot dog, even though they're all pretty much Vienna beef. They all taste exactly the same. They're made exactly the same way. But Wolfie's is better than Super Dog's, is better than Gene and Jude's. You know, everyone has their favorite.
Now, there's a place on the south side, southwest suburbs, Willie's Weenie Wagon. That was the big deal when I was growing up. I don't know. I haven't been there in a while, but that was, and it's still there, I believe. That's Willie's fantastic. Weenie Wagon.
Is that in Markham?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so it's still there?
Yeah.
I know my stuff.
Wow. Yeah, you do.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's still there.
I was going to say, my favorite ice cream place when I was a kid that's no longer around was Cock Robin.
Yes.
You remember
the cubes?
Yes, the cubed ice cream.
I've been called that a few times.
I've tried to buy
it. That's a Cock Robin over there, isn't it?
Yeah, got that.
I've tried to actually buy one of those square ice cream scoops. It doesn't work very well. It never pops up.
It was square.
Oh,
I mean, real tight corners.
But even the cones, if you got a double cone with two scoops, you would get two cups in the cone that were square that you would plop that thing in.
Yeah.
It was Prince Castle's, I think, was the predecessor.
Prince Castle
was the
original. Another one,
runner,
Chicago
right?
Heights.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No longer around. How about some other ones? What are some
Plush, on the south side again, Plush Horse in Palos Park. It's been there for like 75 years. That place is beautiful. It's got a really historic, old nostalgia feel to the inside. Has a really great courtyard on the outside. It's all homemade ice cream, so it's nothing bought in. And it's they've got some incredible flavors. They have a range. And I'm a huge malt guy. I love chocolate malts. So one of my go-tos, and they make a stupendous malt.
I'm going to play a little game show with folks. I'm actually going to tease it right now. If you want to give us a call, 312-981-7200, we'll take the 7th and 9th caller. We're going to do a contest for a $25 gift card to Pretty Cool Ice Cream.
I like it.
Which is a new place in Logan Square. So we're going to do that $25 gift card. You got to play the game. We're going to take two callers, 312-981-7200, the 7th and 9th caller, all to win a $25 gift card. You got to play the game. Then we got five questions. Best man, best woman wins.
And how's the loser that? Has to jump into Lake Michigan and tell us the temperature.
Right. There's shrinkage.
Like yep.
773 Ice Cream Place on the south side, Gertie's.
Yes.
Oh,
Gertie's.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's... Yep. Not sure if it's there anymore. Somebody said Oberweis. Oh, you could say Oberweis and Dairy Queen and stuff.
We have a tradition every year. I say we got three girls, but we have three dogs. And every year, my wife and I take them for the first day of summer ice cream. And we pretty much go to Oberweis because we know, you know, it's a good local place. I mean, there's nothing wrong. It's still a family-owned business. It's still family-run.
Glass bottles. The milk's still in glass bottles.
I love that. That reminds me of a kid as well, like putting the glass bottles out.
Guy delivering it to your house.
Oh,
don't wear those jobs. Why don't the kids want to deliver milk anymore?
Oberweis still delivers milk.
They can still get
milk on the side of the house. Willie's is still there. That's from 815. 815, the Creamery locations in the South Suburbs?
Yes, Creamery, the one in Frankfurt. I used to live in Frankfurt, and I would go there all the time. Hot dogs and mostly ice cream, but Creamery.
Right.
They got a few locations. I think one in Homer Glen, too.
Cupid Candies? Cupid?
Cupid? Yeah. I know that place well. Yeah, they've been on our show. They do some incredibly good sundaes. They make chocolate on location. I love those guys there. It's a mother and daughter who own and operate the place. Cupid Candies. Oh, my God. They're a great place.
Homer's and Wilmette?
Homer's and Wilmette. That's another one that's been on the show. I think that's been there for like 100 years or so.
Yeah, it's been there like
They use fresh fruit in their ice cream as well. And one of my favorites there is the mixed berries, and it's like blueberries and blackberries and cherries and it's nostalgic as well. And there's hot food as well.
Is there a place in Evanston? I think it's called Andy's. For shakes?
Yes, Andy's Frozen Custard. There's one in my prospect.
And shakes, too.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
If you want frozen custard, go to Lickety Split in Edgewater. They do some incredible... They do this thing called a concrete, a crazy concrete, where they take a cupcake and custard, and they blend it all together with a bunch of toppings, and you can do, like, chocolate cake and all kinds of things.
What about Scooters? Scooters is over on Belmont,
Scooters is
right?
Great, yeah.
Is it Belmont?
Yeah,
Belmont and Paulina.
Yeah. Oh, he knows it well.
I know it well. Been there a few times.
That place is great.
Margie's Candies. You can't forget Margie's, right?
Yes.
Yeah, legendary spot as well.
It's stuff so good you want to talk dirty to it. Isn't that what you told me, David?
I did say that during the break. Yes, I did.
Dove Candies?
Who?
On 57th and Pulaski? They invented the Dove Bar.
Yes.
The
Dove Bar.
You know this place.
Come on. Dove Bar.
Okay. I believe it.
Yeah.
Peterson's,
that's another one. That's
Oak Park?
In Oak Park. Yeah, that's been there for like 100 years. They actually have a location in Las Vegas as well.
Okay.
Which is kind of cool. But that's another place, I think 105 years or something, or 95 years. Also been on the show. Also a great spot.
Very cool. I tell you what, we're going to do Black Dog Gelato. Did you mention that guy?
We haven't mentioned Black Dog, but I mean, yeah. That's like grown-up place.
That's my rap name, Black Dog Gelato.
Really?
Yeah.
That's,
are you going to freestyle, Gary?
I will. I'll pop right here.
Okay.
I will pop right on this
you
floor.
Do it.
All right, we got Howard and Marie on the line. They're going to play the game with us right after a look at your morning traffic.
I'm your ice cream man. Stop me when I'm passing by. Oh, my, I'm your eyes remain. Stop me when I'm passing by.
All right, it's Dave Player on 720 WGN. We're talking to Elliot Bambra from WGN TV Chicago's Best.
Hello.
Gary Meyer in studio.
Hello.
Yay! And we've got Marie and Howard on the line. Howard's from Wheeling. Marie is from Downers Grove. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Good morning. Are you ready to play?
I'll try.
All right, we're going to play a little ice cream Q&A. You can win a $25 gift card to Pretty Cool Ice Cream in Logan Square.
And Dave will drive you there.
I will personally drive you there. What I need you to do is just call out your own name, Marie or Howard. If you know you've got the answer, we'll call on you, and we'll see if you can answer the question. You ready to go?
Okay.
Ready.
All right, here we go. Question number one. In America, how much do we spend on ice cream each year? Is it A, $14 billion, B, $20 billion? Or C, $800 million.
Marie.
Marie, what's the answer?
B.
B is correct, Marie. Nice job there. All right, here we go. Well, that was good.
How much is that?
$20 billion. $20 billion we spend on ice cream a year. There we go.
All right, okay. Next question. The first known ice cream recipe known is from what country? Oh, sorry, what century? George, let me ask you that again, because I'm confusing
even
myself.
Didn't your people invent the language?
I don't know. I mean, Dave put it all in capitals, and I can only read joined up writing. Question two. We'll scrub that. This isn't live, is it?
No, we're good. We can redo this.
The first known ice cream recipe is from what century? A, the 1600s, B, the 1800s, or C, the 1900s?
Howard, what's the answer?
Which one?
The 17th century.
Option wasn't even in there. I like the way you think, Howard. You've got the job. You think outside the box. Mary.
The first known ice cream recipe was handwritten in the recipe book of Lady Anne Fashaw in 1665. All right, question number three. Why is ice cream sundae called a sundae? Was it A, Charles... A, Charles Sunday invented the ice cream that... in his ice cream parlor in Pittsburgh in 1915, when someone suggested to place fruit and cream on their ice cream. B, ice cream sodas were a popular drink you could buy at the local shop. However, religious laws forbade shop owners of selling shakes on Sundays because you couldn't eat sugary treats on the Sabbath. So they came up with a ice cream sundae instead. Or C, the ice cream treat was created on a Sunday.
Howard.
What's the answer?
C.
It is B. You couldn't drink shakes because they were too luxurious to have on the set.
I knew it had something to do with the day of the week.
There you go. All right, go ahead.
All right, question four. Which is the oldest soft-serve ice cream company in America? Is it A, Carvel Ice Cream, B, Dairy Queen, or C, Mr. Softy?
Hey, Marie.
She nearly forgot her name there. Marie, what's the answer?
I'm going to go with C.
With C?
No.
I'm going to go with A.
Although that was your nickname in high school, wasn't it?
It was Mr. Softy was my clown name.
It was really great.
And stage name.
And stage name as well. On Memorial Day weekend of 1934, Tom Carville, the founder of Carville in New York, suffered a flat tire in his ice cream truck and started selling his melting ice cream. thus the soft serve.
It was either that or try to sell flat tires.
That's right.
Go with the ice cream.
Go with the ice cream. All right. Question number five. So far, Marie's in the lead with 1 point.
Yeah. What competition this is. Right.
If we have a tie, you're going to have to come up with question number six.
I told you, Dave, I don't work well under pressure.
All right. The oldest ice cream shop in Chicago is Margie's Candies, which opened up in 1921. What two famous rock bands ate at the famous soda fountain? Was it A, the Beatles and the Stones, B, the Monkees and the Cowsills, or C, the Jackson 5 and the Who?
Howard. A.
Hey, it was the Beatles and the Rolling Stones.
Howard, how dare you?
All right, we're going to have to come up with another one here. What do we got?
I want a black cow.
Oh, no, I got Michael Chapchek from Bang Bang Pie. He also owns Pretty Cool Ice Cream here. You know how many ice cream bar flavors that you have. How many? No, don't say. Just hold up a show of hands or tell me somehow.
They could be watching. Write it down.
Over 30.
Oh. All right. Does Pretty Cool Ice Cream have over 10 flavors, 20, or 30?
Marie.
Howard.
Marie. How many?
Well, if I say 10, it's adding right on all of them.
Right. Right. Didn't you think this out?
Is it 10, 20, or over 30?
This is brilliant.
What's your answer?
Oh, okay. I'll say over 30.
Over 30 is correct, and you win a $25 gift card for Pretty Cool Ice Cream in Logan Square. Oh, that was easy, wasn't it?
Marie, you have a technicality there that you could really use.
And that's why rules are important with competitions.
Contact your attorney, would you please? All right, hang on the line, Marie, and we'll get you. Thanks for playing, guys. Hang on 1 second. All right, Curtis, you got that. All right, throw that down. So speaking of Pretty Cool Ice Cream, Michael Chapchek, he actually runs Bang Bang Pie in Chicago, but also has Pretty Cool Ice Cream, and he has some pretty cool ice cream. Good morning to you, buddy.
Good morning, David.
Nice
Thanks for
to
having
have
me.
You. So what are some of these very unique, crazy flavors that you got here?
Well, we brought quite a few. We brought a flavor from our custard category. It's a peanut butter ice cream dipped in chocolate and rolled in potato chips. That's a personal favorite.
So these aren't your grandmother's ice cream.
That's why it's called
bars.
Bang Bang Pie.
Yeah, exactly. Because I mean, you're making all these. I mean, you know, I can't see the last time I picked up an ice cream bar, but these are just like decadent. And just like how you make your pies and stuff, I mean, you put a lot of love into figuring out the best concoctions and recipes for all this.
That's exactly right. My partner, Dana Cree, actually wrote a cookbook on ice cream, so she's what I refer to as an ice cream whisperer. And as Marie acknowledged, we do have over 30 rotating flavors. Some of the other ones I brought today, one from the Chuck Pop line, which is a gourmet popsicle. That's a lychee lemon tea, otherwise known as an Arnold Palmer. We have a rainbow chip, which is birthday cake flavored, very nostalgic flavor there. We have a black raspberry which is a buttermilk bar that's a fruit purees, local fruit purees with sherbet. We have a non-dairy line called Plant Pops, which are made with plant-based milks.
Wow.
The one I brought is piña colada, so pineapple coconut.
Can you milk a pineapple?
Can you milk a pineapple? Indeed. That should be the next trivia question.
That's that dry English humor we've heard about, right?
Maybe. Yeah. It's early. It's early on Memorial Day. I'd normally be asleep.
You
by
don't
now.
Celebrate this in your country. What do you care?
No, I won't. Right.
Right.
4th of July is a very depressing day for me. Independence Day.
You were down in your shelter while we saved your ass.
Right.
Good Lord. So tell me, again, you're located in Logan Square.
We are located in Logan Square, 2353 North California, just south of Fullerton.
Very cool. And thanks for the giveaway as well.
Yeah, you got it.
We appreciate it. And the website?
PrettyCoolIceCream.com.
There you have
Come
it.
And see us, guys. Open every there day, 7 days
they
a week.
They have over 10 flavors.
I know. That was bad.
Yeah.
That was bad. Not very well planned out. Chicago's Best, what do you got coming up this coming week?
This coming week, that's a really good question. I should really come prepared. But I do know we have a lot of great new shows coming up, including Outrageous Eats episode where I tackle a 4-pound burger and Marley tackles a ridiculous stacked pancake dish. We've also got Best Barbecue coming up. We've got a bunch of new shows. The show was on last night because last night was actually Sunday.
That is correct.
We did some lunch deals,
nice.
Which makes perfect sense coming on a Monday. But I appreciate just hanging out with you, Dave.
Absolutely. Thank you, buddy. Have a great
pleasure.
Memorial Day.
You too.
All right. We'll be right back, guys. All right, it's Dave Plyer for Steve Cochran on this Memorial Day Monday here on 720 WGN. Still hanging out in the studio, Gary Meyer.
You're like a substitute teacher. You kind of know what you're doing, but every now and then you go off the rail.
I go off the rail a little
I'll
bit.
I'll give you the weather if you want to read that. It again, Dave.
This one's the microphone, Dave. This button here that says on. Yeah, you know how this works?
What does this one do?
I don't interrupt you all the time, Dave. That was kind of a little bit of a fluke.
That if this woke
was
me a, up. If, hey, it woke me up.
If this was a small plane, we'd be in Bussy Woods right now.
You know what? We're taping this, so we can just fix that later.
Yeah, you it's think. Okay. Yeah, you're taping it, all right.
It's okay. Elliot Bamber up from Chicago's Best also hanging out here. It is the kickoff to summer, the beginning of the grilling season, and to provide some helpful tips, tasty recipes, we'll open up the phone lines. Any questions you have for Weber Grill, Master Chef Kevin Coleman at 312-981-7200. He's here in studio. Good morning to you.
Dave, thanks for having us.
Absolutely. It's been a tradition, I think, for the past 6 years, 7 years that we've done this. Weber Grill's Patty Krug. Used to do this, I think, with Roy Leonard.
Oh, way back in the
way
day,
back
yes.
in the day on WGN. There's only two ways to grill, obviously, charcoal and gas grills. Break down what's the features and benefits, really, of gas versus charcoal? Because there's specific preferences people like.
Yeah, there's definitely a flavor and aroma when you have charcoal going in the backyard. Usually that's an attraction for all of my neighbors to come over and start hanging out. So when it comes to smell, flavor-wise, I think people prefer charcoal. And some of the nuances of cooking with charcoal is that the charcoal hits a temperature and then starts to drop. So it's a little more inconsistent, a little less, it's more inconsistent than, let's say, gas. So anything under 20 minutes, I love on gas because the heat is always going to be consistent as long as you have gas in your tank or it's coming from your house. Where charcoal, there's a little more art form to it, but there's a little bit more flavor I think you can pull from it. So it's kind of a give and take.
I was at this, excuse me, can
yeah.
I talk?
Yeah, you can.
Okay, absolutely. I don't know. I mean, I'm afraid of you now. You obviously lost what balance you had.
I'm good.
I was at a backyard barbecue recently, and the guy did pellets in his grill, and he was doing ribs, and it was unbelievably great. What's the deal on pellets?
So pellets is a newer category that's starting to really take off. I think it makes grilling easier for people, although there's definitely a difference in the way food tastes coming off of some grills versus some of the pellets out there. So a little more consistent when it comes to heat temperature. You don't really have to monitor as much as you would gas or, let's say, charcoal. So it's definitely an up-and-coming category. I think you lack a little bit of that true barbecue flavor, mm-hmm. but you make up for it with ease. So I think it's another one of those balances.
You said it gets really hot. That pellet heat is really hot.
I think it depends. Most heat sources, like gas, gets 800-900 degrees. Charcoal, certain grills can go to 800-900 degrees. So it's how that company manages the heat and how it distributes it over the grill, so you can do searing at high temperatures and then low and slow stuff like the ribs you had.
Now let me ask you this. There's a lot of people out there that haven't fired up the grill all winter. It's just sitting there. What do they do to get this thing ready besides just lighting it?
Take if it's a charcoal grill, take the grates out, check it inside of the bowl, see if there's any excess debris in there, clean that out. The more schmutz, that barbecue, mm-hmm. that's the terminology.
Watch your mouth.
The more that you have inside of your grill, the more the performance starts to drop. So gas grills, take your flavorizer bars and grates out. Clean all that.
Take out the squirrels,
out.
Everything?
Anything that's in there.
Or just put them on the spit. Just put that as part of your entree.
Why not?
If you're that's a flavor that, profile.
Sure. Flavor profile, yeah.
So and then once that is, heat your grill up about 10, 15 minutes, burn any of that excess stuff off of there, and then you're ready to go.
All right. Favorite things to grill? What are you going to throw on today? Or what have you thrown on today?
Well, this weekend we did two briskets, 35 pounds of shoulder. I did a little bit more of that down in Indianapolis when we went down there.
Yeah, you were there for the race, right?
Yep,
yeah.
That was fantastic.
So some tailgating?
We did a little bit of tailgating. This guy's hilarious.
What?
On the way
no,
down.
No, no,
listening to you talk about things was just, I was like, this is
I don't know what I'm doing anymore. Speaking of the Indy 500, yeah. I've been to it a couple times. That's one of those American things you have to do at least once. You can't get the spectacle on television of what it is. It's unbelievable.
It's tremendous. The thing I loved this year about the 500 is they really did an extraordinary job of supporting the troops and really highlighting the military, yeah. which they do every year. But this year, the flyover was fantastic. Yeah. They were deploying 600 troops over to, I think, Iraq, and they had them on the track, and they did a nice procession for them. So
wow,
what they do to
great.
Support military and really highlight how important they are to our world is fantastic.
Awesome. Very cool. We've grilled sausage, you know, the big sausage. Thing about, yeah, sausage, putting sausage,
sausage. Sausage. Chicago accent, sausage.
Nice. Yeah. How do you, you know, so one of the big questions that we always have on our text line is like, how do you not overcook them? Because you can split them open, and obviously that becomes a big issue. You lose the flavor, the moisture's gone. How do you kind of control
yeah,
all that?
Yeah, brats and sausage can be a challenge for people. So what I like to do is low temperature, 300, 325, slowly bring them up. That way the meat can naturally expand inside that casing.
Yeah.
And then you turn it up to about 425 degrees. At the end to really start to brown them up, and that's usually like a 16 to 18 minute cook. But when it comes to consistency and the way those things are going to eat, they're going to be fantastic.
Rain doesn't scare me away, but it's supposed to be like storming after 2 o'clock.
They
today,
said that so every day this
I
weekend.
Know they have. They
there
have.
Is nothing more patriotic, Dave, than standing outside in the rain,
right.
Cooking
I
on the grill on Memorial Day.
That's the first thing I do is shovel a path to my grill. You know, in the
snow. I could do winter.
Yeah, I could do winter too.
I love it.
Best burger recipe.
That's like one of those.
Did you put brisket in there? Brisket?
So we go to my butcher and he grounds. Brisket is really lean, so he'll take the flat of a brisket, clean off the little bit of fat that you're going to have on top, and he'll grind that as his 80, and then he'll take 20% and he'll grind bacon into that. So it's a brisket bacon burger that we do, and those are fantastic.
Nice.
If you can't do that, nice thing to do is saute bacon first and then take the bacon bits and put that inside your burger. You have a crazy consistent flavor profile there. And then finally, you know, it's like 80-20 is what I choose in the meat. Number two, shaping it to the same size. That's one easy way for people to cook it. If the burgers are all the same size, they're all going to cook at the same rate. Got to put a thumbprint down the middle. That's an old steakhouse technique. That way the juices don't run to the middle. The burger cooks evenly. And then 425 to 450, only flip it once. I mean,
nice.
It's amateur hour when people start to
squeeze it
down.
That's
why you have spatulas. It's to flip burgers and smack people across the face when they do that.
It ain't summer until my arteries are closing. That's
right.
The kickoff
that's
to
right.
summer right
that's
there.
Right. That's right. And the other thing people do all the time is peek. Looking and cooking.
Looking and cooking. Keep the lid closed. I mean, that's the other thing where I like
I
to just set
that.
A timer.
I remember that.
Don't play with the food. I mean, it's just obnoxious. Just be patient. Enjoy your beer or whatever else you're going to be drinking.
Ribs and barbecue. What do you like to do with the ribs? Don't you dry rub the ribs?
Yeah, so we're going to be doing, actually, Maddie and I were talking about it.
This used to be a family station.
I'm sorry.
Where's Kathy and Judy?
We've gone a little bit off the grid with that. So ribs, I'm a dry rib guy. We're going to do baby backs today. So we'll do, it's a 2-2-1 method, 2 hours on the grill, 1 hour back on the grill inside foil with apple juice, a little bit of butter and the barbecue seasoning that you put on it. And then 1 hour out, and then about 30 minutes before you take them off, sauce them, and you'll be ready to go.
All right. I got Kerry from Sycamore on the line. You got a question about ham on the grill?
Yeah, I do. I have a, I inherited, don't ask me how, I inherited a fresh ham. So it's not brined, it's not cured. And I'm thinking the only way to do this is on the grill. And then I've got a Weber gas and charcoal grill. I'm wondering, do you have any recommendations? I mean, how do I cook this thing?
Yeah, it's actually interesting you said fresh, because I was going to say either you're reheating it because it's a normal ham or if it's a fresh ham. So I would do charcoal. I would start out indirect heat. Ham right directly in the center, and you want to cook it to about 140 to 150 degrees, which depending on the thickness of that might be about a 5 to 6 hour cook. Usually you can kind of get around it with about one hour per pound of that ham. And then what you want to do, if you have any excess glaze that you want to make, that usually goes on about 30 minutes before you're going to take it off.
Said in indirect.
Definitely indirect. If you try to go direct with that, you're going to dry it out and turn it into pork jerky.
And at the end, just glaze it and then crisp it up.
Yeah, glaze it. You want to cook, you want to cook that at about 300 degrees, and then you want to glaze it the last 30 minutes, and then let it rest for about 5 to 10 minutes. It'll let some of that moisture run back into it, and then it's time to slice and enjoy.
Excellent. I will do that. Thank you very much.
Kev, do you got an eye grill for this young man?
Yeah, so if we want, we can definitely get him an eye grill. And that
someone an eye grill is. Yeah.
So for future reference, we have a Bluetooth thermometer eye grill, which monitors the food that you're going to be cooking. So you could plug in fresh ham, you put the probe into it, and then it will tell you exactly when it's going to be done, and it tracks it for you, which is fantastic. So we'll have one sent out to you, and hopefully in the future you'll be able to use that and cook some great barbecue.
Thank you.
Gary. Have a great Memorial Day.
Sounds like his brakes are going out.
A fresh ham just fell in my lap.
Yeah, really?
There's a guy driving around Chicago giving out fresh hams. Back of a van.
Picnicking, obviously, big deal, or picnicking by the lake. The Weber Q Grill is a great grill for that. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, the Q is one of those grills that we've picnicked down at the lake. We've gone to do tailgate at Soldier Field with those. Fantastic. For people that are going to be using it as a cast iron grate, which we test all these grills in the Chicagoland area, which you know it gets cold and it's warm and everywhere else. But if you're going to be doing picnicking, you want to keep track of how you're going to be cooking. And I'm a first in last out kind of guy. So depending on how your day is going, you put the things you're going to cook last in the bottom of your cooler and then build it up. It's just one of those easy tips that instead of having to shuffle through everything and try to find anything, you can do it in platters and just take those out of when you need them.
And they come in different colors, too. So, I mean, if you got a favorite team, you know, Northwestern, the Bears, whatever, you got orange, you got your blue for Cubs, all kinds of good stuff.
They come in different colors, which it's always fun when you're driving around here or looking up at the balconies in the city that you can see different colors.
And speaking of which, you got electric grills too for city, because obviously you can't put propane in some of these on some of these buildings.
Yeah, right? We have electric grills which work fantastic. I mean, high heat. We've done competitions in some of the places that we've gone to around the world, and usually it's a third, where people prefer the electric actually a little more than they do gas and charcoal. By the way, it caramelizes and the flavor inside of it.
So we're going to throw the Mueller report on the grill. We're going to grill that for about a half hour. See what we can get out of that.
We could try that.
Would you dry rub it first?
I would.
Yeah. A little bit of seasoning for that.
Yeah, you got to really get in on that rub.
That's what pellets were made for.
That's right.
You think super heat? All right, a little super heat on that.
I have a quick question.
Yes, sir.
I've always wanted to turn my grill into kind of smoker. I want a smoker, but I don't know if I have enough room to fit in a smoker as well. Is there a way that I can like take some ribs and kind of improvise and use my gas grill as a smoker as opposed to just direct heat?
Yeah. Well, do you know what kind of gas grill it is? Two burner, three burner?
It's three burner.
So what I would do is we sell smoker boxes, which we could get for you, and you'll soak your chips. You'll put that over a hot burner, usually about 15 minutes will get the smoke going, and then you'd keep the other two burners off, and you would put your ribs directly over that area. So you could do your low and slow shoulder, brisket, ribs, whatever you're going to be doing, just by putting that smoker box to get the aroma, and that's usually like the first 2 hours of the cook, and then after that, the meats usually at a temperature won't absorb any more smoke, and so that's the perfect time to just finish them up on a grill.
Right now, all the vegans are in the fetal position listening to this.
we can do some veggies on the grill.
You can do veggies and other things.
Yeah,
sure you can.
The Impossible Burger's out now, and so
I hear that is incredible.
It's pretty good.
You know, it's not bad. Yeah. I mean, the consistency of it is very similar to a patty. The thing I like about the Impossible meat is you can mix. So if I was doing two burgers for the people that want meat and the people that don't, you can make that so inclusive to where the people are getting the same kind of burger except for different consistency when it comes to the soy that they use in Impossible. So it's actually a pretty fun piece of protein to cook
with. It's the closest thing to real meat in some respects. I've cooked it a few times. It's impressive.
I've heard, and I like
it's impressive. Yeah.
Those patties that aren't meat, and I can't tell after a while.
It's interesting how they sweat very similar to what a burger would do, so
really?
You get that same kind of consistency on top of it. Yeah, they've done a pretty fun job. I was actually out in Napa Valley and worked with a little bit of their team out there, so it's an interesting protein to cook with.
Well, we're going to give away a Weber Q grill. Let's do a question for a caller. Let's take the fifth and seventh caller, and the question is, the George Stephan who founded Weber Grill modeled his kettle grill off of what? A, a punch bowl, B, a buoy, or C, a globe? So Weber founder George Stephan modeled his kettle grill off of what? A, a punch bowl, B, a buoy, or C, a globe? 312-981-7200 for Weber Q. We'll do that after a look at your morning traffic. Dave? All right, it's State Player on 720 WGN, live in studio with Gary Meyer. Good morning, Gary, again.
I just had that popsicle your ice cream guy left, the Arnold Palmer.
Yeah.
It's why the Al-Qaeda hate us. That thing is so good.
Was it chocolate outside of it, too?
No. It's a popsicle tasting like an Arnold Palmer.
Oh, nice.
Oh,
nice. Yeah.
I tried the Bang Bang Pie one.
Yeah, was that blueberry?
What about the ice cream, Elliot?
Hey
now.
Hello, one, two.
Hey.
Elliot Bamber from Chicago's Best in here and Kevin Coleman from Weber Grill. And we've got Shirley on the line. Good morning, Shirley.
Don't call her Shirley.
Shirley, she can't be serious.
Shirley, you can't be serious. Weber founder George Stephan modeled his kettle grill off of what? A punch bowl, a buoy, or a globe? And this is for a Weber Q grill.
A buoy.
You got it. That's correct. Where's my ding, ding, ding? God's sake. There we go.
Shirley, you didn't Google that, did you?
I'm excited.
You didn't Google it, did you?
No, because I always listen to the when you guys are on WGN.
Nice. I like hearing that. That's fantastic. I know. These days, it's every opportunity
for kind of grill.
That's awesome. Shirley, hang on the line. Curtis will get your information and have a good Memorial Day, okay?
Thank you so much.
Thanks, dear. Now I know everything with the contest line. You can, give people 1 minute, it's over.
Yeah, they can Google, and there you go.
That's totally true. We were talking about veggies on the grill. What do you like doing on the grill for veggies? for so those vegetarians out there, since we've been talking about raw meat and everything for the last 20 minutes.
What we like to do is, anytime you're serving anything, I like to incorporate at least one grilled item into it. So you can do your veggies. Zucchini is great. Peppers are great. Eggplant's another great thing where you can sear that off, and it's meaty. So for people that want a burger-esque kind of thing, you can always do a larger size piece of eggplant. The other nice thing is we have these veggie baskets where, for a lot of people, they have issues of the veggies falling through the grates and they make a mess of it, which sometimes you just cut bigger pieces and they don't do that. Or preheat the veggie basket when you start your grill, so that way it's nice and hot, and then when you throw your veggies in there, they'll cook faster, they'll caramelize more, and you'll get more flavor out of them.
Kevin Coleman from Weber Grill, Weber.com. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you for having
us. Have a great day. Elliot Bambro, Chicago's Best, Sundays at 10.
I thought I was in trouble then, just the way you said my name. I was like, what'd I do?
Would you step over here so we can taser you?
Oh, my God.
I'm getting rid of you. So what is your, what's the website again?
The website, again, is chicagosbesttv.com. We've also got an app, which is free, which gives you all the episodes, all the segments, every place we've ever been to. We also have a YouTube page, which is chicagosbesttv.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, I don't know.
And I always say, don't come to a chain. Go to your app when you're coming down the city. Figure out what kind of food you want and check this out, because you'll get some great local places.
The show celebrates mom and pop places. We don't critique, we celebrate, and that's the way to keep these businesses and the neighborhoods thriving, is by visiting your local establishments. Get to know the people, enjoy their food. You'll have a great time.
Fabulous. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
All right, we'll be right back. All right. Hang on. It's Dave Plyer back with you here on 720 WGN. Hey, by the way, we've got a new exhibit at the Museum of Broadcast Communication. Saturday Night Live just closed. We have a new one from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Museum. It's called Louder Than Words. It's the merging of rock and politics. And we're going to give away two tickets to a lucky listener. We'll take the seventh caller, 312-981-7200. We are open today. We'll just take your name. You'll be on a list at the museum. But again, it's called Louder Than Words at the Museum of Broadcast Communications, 360 North State Street in Chicago. Gary Meyer, hanging in studio, thank you so much for
spending some time having me on the blower again. It was fun.
It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. And sharing your dad's stories and just shooting the stuff,
If I was listening to Kevin talk about the Weber Grills and the ice cream guy, if we sent those things to these hostile countries, they'd love us. They don't have this stuff. That's why they're so angry.
No, especially this ice cream, man. That was the best, wasn't
it? Yeah.
But growing up in Chicago, that's what we did, right?
Yeah, we have so many great eating things.
Where can folks find you? Because you got a podcast 5 days a week.
Yes.
3 days complimentary.
That's comped, and then two under subscription.
You got comped, yeah, yes, exactly.
Yes, and that's at GaryMeyer.com. Very simple. You go to that app, and there's a button, and there's the show.
And you love doing it, of course, every day.
I love doing this.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too. Absolutely.
You're one of your 15 jobs.
One of my 15 jobs.
Yeah.
Amy Guth is coming up next.